Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambasstech.com. That's ambasstech.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hope you guys are having a good day today. The number is 347-945-5229. It is Friday. It's open mic. And it's 6 minutes after the hour, 12 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600 on the 16th of December. And I hope you're really, really having a good, good day. It's, as I said, it's open mic. For those of you who listen to us abroad, I'm going to harp a little bit on some local issues and then and some statewide issues, and then we'll go from there. And also, I want to bring up relationships today. Alex, who is one of our listeners and one of our callers, and some of our listeners have been in discussion on Facebook about women and the new head of household, because, you know, women are now making more money than men, and that has been, you know, that's new for some men, and it's new for some relationships. And so now that women are making more money than men, what does that mean in the decision-making of the home? So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, because I think that's very, very interesting. I'm very, very conservative. I'm very, very old-fashioned, me personally. But that doesn't mean everyone thinks and feels the same way that I do. So that I will not talk. I'd like to talk about that today if I could possibly get that in. I posted my photo, and I'm bearing it all. I'm bearing it all, and so if you go to my Facebook page, become my friend, and then you can go and you can join my Tracy and Friends weight loss and healthy lifestyle challenge, or the I have another one. I have two actually, the Biggest Loser 2013. So you can join either one. You don't have to do what I do, but you can join in and give helpful hints, helpful tips for not only me but other people that are a part of this, so that we can become healthier in 2013 and beyond. Yesterday when I left the studio, the governor of Ohio, whose name is Governor John Kasich, he was here, and he had been doing an I-80. An I-80 stretches across the country, but through the state of Ohio, it is a toll road. We call it the turnpike. And 80 goes from all the way from one end of the state to the other, and it passes through where we live. It is a easy, accessible toll road that gets us where we want to go. And over the years, there's been conversation about how to leverage and how to take care of the roads through the Ohio Department of Transportation, as well as how to deal with the diminishing cost of our gasoline tax. And so add a little bit of history so that you will understand what I'm talking about. In Ohio, and I can't speak for anywhere else because I don't live anywhere else and I don't know much about everywhere else, but in the state of Ohio, we have a gasoline tax that takes care of the roads in the state of Ohio. And when cars were at 13, 18, 20 miles per gallon as a standard, you were actually filling up your car more and you were using more gas, even though you may not have been paying as much as we're paying today, you were paying for more gas, and you were paying more taxes inside of your gas. As cars now have become mandated to become more fuel efficient, and we've seen our automakers do this, you see where now we're not paying as much. And because we're not paying as much for our gasoline, or should I say we're not paying as many taxes for our gasoline, that fund has gone down. And so now how we actually pay for and take care of our roads, it has diminished. And even though the turnpike is a toll road, we don't have enough tolls to actually continue to rise in pay for the customers of the toll road to actually maintain all the roads and maintain that road there. And that road needs some work. So Governor Kasich, instead of leasing the turnpike like other states have, instead of selling the turnpike like other states have, where they sell this stretch of land to another entity, and usually it is a foreign entity so that we have that understood, what he's done is he's going to leverage them and go out for a bond. It was a way out of the box thinking of getting it done. He is going to leverage it on the tolls. He's going to keep in the same mechanisms and systems that we have currently. And everyone thus far seems to be all the mayors, because remember, transportation logistics makes money. Logistics is a multi-billion-dollar industry. You're talking about trucking. You're talking about movement and getting things in and out. Ohio is in a very, very great place geographically across the country because we are close enough to I want to say 60% of the population is within 8 hours of reach of where we live, especially here in the Mahoning Valley. So it's a pretty big deal. So the mayor of Cleveland, he says, woo, this is good. This is going to help Cleveland out because Turnpike goes past Cleveland because you're going to go between Toledo and Youngstown, and it's going to be a good thing for all of us. We're talking about tens of thousands of jobs that are going to be created because that we're going to have an infrastructure inside of the Turnpike. I don't understand. Sometimes, you know, a rock can have a good idea. Every broke clock is right twice a day. You don't have to play politics every time you open your mouth. I sit around this press conference, I look around and wonder, do I have anyone from the city of Youngstown or Mahoning County? Not one. And I see a press conference. I haven't even read the news. I didn't read the newspaper. I just saw a press conference, and it says that the sitting commissioners, they're against the project. I know Kasich's got to run for office in a couple years, and I know you're going to run somebody against him. We understand that. But can't we do sometimes some things in the good of the order of getting business done? We need jobs. We need to have infrastructure. We didn't want you would have damned him if he had sold it or leased the turnpike. He found a way of getting revenue in, which has to be done through the legislature, but he found a way of getting things in, getting things done, not selling the turnpike, not leasing the turnpike, doing what you want him to do, and you still can't be satisfied. I just don't understand. That was my vent of the day. Okay. Who saw? So if you want, I just wanted to get that off my chest. I know he's a Republican, and I know you're a Democrat. All you had to do was say thank you, give me some jobs. But, you know, anytime you're going to take a $1.5 billion, you're going to get matching dollars from the federal government. You're going to leverage it, and you'll probably have anywhere from $3 to $5 billion to work on road projects, and it's going to benefit you in your community and your constituents. Isn't that what we should be caring about? When you get elected to office, don't you ever care about the constituents? Ever? Or is it all about getting reelected and being a part of the power structure? I just don't understand it. Sometimes we just need to do the right thing. People need to have an infrastructure that's going to be good. When things go right, when Jay Williams, he is a Democrat, when we said he did a good job and trying and leveraging the deal for being a star, guess what? He did a good job. And we applaud him for that. Right now, I believe Tim Ryan has brought in a wealth of money here for a textile thing. He's a Democrat. Guess what? I disagree with his policies, but I want to thank him for doing something because bringing that kind of money here for technology jobs is a good thing. Got to say, pat you on the back. Thank you very much. But sometimes we need to put our politics down and just say, you know what? This is good. We got what we wanted. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I do want to hear from you today. It is open mic. I'm just venting and getting things off my chest because they wouldn't let me talk on the TV yesterday. They wouldn't let me rant and rave. And they tell me because I do talk radio, I talk too long and I don't do like 30-second sound bites. So I'm working on that. But since I have, you know, my own time, you know, this is good. So I could, like, leverage it and, you know, use it. And I just had to say it. Want to announce on tonight, last night and tonight, but tonight from 7 till 9, the Christmas readings, there's going to be a live nativity at the Salem Wesleyan Methodist Church at 1095 New Garden Avenue in Salem, Ohio. And let me read that again for you. The Salem Wesleyan Methodist Church at 1095 New Garden Avenue in Salem, Ohio, where the pastor is Stanley Gable, they're going to have a live nativity. They would love for you to come out and join them for this. There's going to be Christmas readings every half hour. It starts at 7 o'clock and goes on until 9. Also, those of you who are in the Sebring, Salem, Southern part, or if you're anywhere that you want to drive down that way, starting in January, there's going to be a Financial Peace University at Pine Lake Christian Church. They would love for you to come out. It's going to be from 9 to 10, starting on January 6th. They're located at 636 Pine Lake Road in Sebring, and you can call them at 330-938-2262. So I want to get that out also. I'm just, you know, looking at some things, and on Facebook, Alex put up, and I'm going to do this without him. He says, you know, women think men are threatened by a woman's financial success. And I had some conversations with some people, and, you know, we think this is a black thing, but this is a white and black thing. We need to really comprehend that women are now making more money than men, and that men are sometimes intimidated by women making more money, and women don't know how to not abuse their power because they make more money. And inside the relationship now, there are a couple questions that I want to ask for today. As I said, it is open mic, so we will go anywhere that you choose. But since I'm here, and since it was a good question, it looks as though they've gotten a lot of traction on there. I want to throw it out because it looks as though it would be a good conversation. Does money make a difference in the household on who makes decisions between husband and wife? Is it all – because, I mean, after a while, sometimes you're going to disagree. So who gets the final word? Are men still considered the head of the household? And should women go back to a more subservient role in the house? Throw that out. So, hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Also, what else do I want to ask? Next week I will be gone Monday and Tuesday. Jeff will be here, and hopefully I will have some I'm trying to get a guest on who's going to talk about this right to work with him on Tuesday. And in getting some information that's going on over in Michigan when it comes to the right to work, I had thought that it was on the ballot. I thought it was on the ballot and in Michigan this past November about the right to work, and it was, and it did go down. The people voted and said that they did not want Michigan to become a right to work state. What they did was they went to the legislative body and through the governor's office and made it now law. So I want to know what you guys think about that. I tend to have issues with the process. I think right to work, I think that the unions, we have allowed the unions to become so big and so strong that they have now overruled the wishes of the owners of the business, so they look at the partnership as a partnership and not as a employee-employer workplace, and I tend to have problem with that. I want to talk. I have issues when the legislative body usurps the authority of the people. But then I also said to some friends of mine that are in Michigan when I was talking to them on the phone last night, I said, but they did the same thing in California. The people in California said they did not want same-sex marriage, yet the legislative body decided to usurp the authority of that body and make it law to where you could now be married in California, even though the people voted and said that that's not what they wanted. And so I tend to have problem with that. I believe that if the people say this is what they want, you put it on the ballot. I disagree with it wholeheartedly, but you got to have some type of guidelines. And when you don't have guidelines and you usurp the authority of your democracy that you say that you have, then you lie about what you say you live in, and that is not what it should be. And I have some issue with that. And so I want to throw that out there because I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good. We preach democracy in America. We talk about these things, but we lie, and we need to quit lying. Also, I see that there's another shooting in a Connecticut school. There is one dead at a shooting in Connecticut, and this is just happening. It looks like they're elementary students. A shooter opened fire at an elementary school in Newton, Connecticut, and on Friday killing several people, including children, which is reported at the Hartford Courant newspaper. The shooter was also killed himself. Wow. Why are you whooping fire on the kiddies? The babies ain't done nothing. Jeez, oh, man. That's mean. Why would you open fire on an elementary school? I'm sorry. That's just mean. Jeff, can you make any more noise?
You got big nerve. You know that?
I'm not that loud. Mm-hmm. You slammed that down.
No, it hit the...
He came in here like gunshot.
No, I did like...
He slammed it down, y'all. I ain't lying on him. He didn't lie on him. Here's the number 347-945-522. Now, listen, I'm going to take my break now. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7000. 7007. For comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery, Dr. Hill, an associate in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley, provides individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accepted.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. A teenager was shot in the leg during a youth basketball game last night at a South Youngstown church. Police say a fight broke out at Martin Luther Lutheran Church at 420 Claremont Avenue. The boy's injury is not considered life-threatening. His name has not been released. A judge in Youngstown yesterday sentenced a man to 90 years to life in prison for the murder of Jamail Johnson. The man identified as the shooter was Jamail Jackson. The shooting happened last year during an off-campus party near Youngstown State University. And the Ohio legislature has approved a bill to let lawmakers and visitors to the Capitol leave guns in vehicles parked in the statehouse garage. The state Senate passed the bill on a 26-7 vote yesterday, and the House agreed to the changes. It now heads to the governor for his likely signature. Senators stripped a provision from the bill that dealt with concealed weapons agreements between states. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio, on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. A women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop. There's a Fidelity U.S. coach running the road today. Why aren't you on it? Fidelity U.S. coach in Boardman and Alliance and WSOM are going pink with a donation to the American Breast Cancer Association for all charters and tours booked for a limited time. U.S. coach has money-saving day and overnight trips for you to all the regions, new and exciting casinos, and shopping destinations. Call 1-800-U.S.-COACH and go pink this season with U.S. coach and WSOM.
We've got the perfect gift for the person you love that loves to play golf. The Newstalk 600 Golf Card. This gift card comes in many choices and lets the golfer play at some of the area's best golf courses, like Old Stonewall, Avalon Lakes, Squaw Creek Country Club, Avalon at Buell, Tam O'Shanter, Greens of Greenville, Kensington, Rolling Hills, Riverview, Salem Hills, and more. Each card includes 18 holes with cart at a minimum of four of these and other great area golf courses and provides a 60 to 70% discount on greens fees. Don't miss out on this perfect gift for the golf lover on your list. Available right now for a limited time at our website. But hurry, these will sell fast. Just visit our website, 600WSOM.com, and click on the golf cart icon for more information from our area's best golf courses. And Newstalk 600WSOM.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hope you're having a good afternoon and having a good day today. It's Friday, and today is the 14th. Looks like we're going to I'm excited about the holidays coming up, and I hope you are too.
Why?
Because I get a day off.
Oh, well, you sure?
A day
off. Are you sure?
Yeah, they told me I can have a day. A day. I'm not sure if we're going to do a day or a day. For the today. The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, did you look at my Facebook page? Did you see the photo of the Christmas where it says keep it merry with Santa Claus and dump the mint with Jesus Christ?
No, I didn't get that. You know, I haven't been on.
You got it. You got to check that out.
My computer, Facebook. I was on my.
You got to check that out.
Yeah, I got.
It actually has, and I just put in there. Can you believe this billboard is in Times Square?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I just said, you know, we are have come to a resolve that at one time you would have never seen anything like this. And this is where we are now. And I blame the church for the silence of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've allowed everything to come in and do whatever. And a friend of mine on Facebook was like, well, that's because your religious beliefs. And I said, well, at one time there was respect for my belief. Now there's just no respect. And it's because we don't demand and we have not earned it. And so I wanted to throw that out there.
But if you were a Muslim, it wouldn't make a difference.
Well, that's they're teaching Islam or Allah is God in Texas.
Yeah.
I just thought it looked like it wasn't on the 2012 ballot after all. What you might have heard is how the law was written that it cannot be challenged by referendum. Are you serious? On a future ballot.
Bill looked at you.
Yeah, because they were telling me last night that they just voted on a referendum in Michigan
uh-huh.
about or voted on that they did not want. They wanted right to work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did not want right to work, and then the government overthrew it. But he's saying, and I'm like, for real? I'm like, wow. And I'm sorry. And I said, you know, so there is once they put this legislation in, it cannot be overturned by referendum. That's mean. So I'll let you guys really know. So I'm trying to find someone to come and talk with Jeff on Tuesday about this. That's mean. Jeff, one more thing.
Yeah.
I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got the Jesus thing out. I got the labor thing out. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it because you are the best. You're the best researcher in the world. And
Stanley's losing his mind. We'll get to that in a minute, though. Because he's talking about relationships.
That's where I'm going next.
Yeah.
Because I'm going on the posting that Alex did about women.
Yeah, it was good.
And my question is, are men supposed to be the head of household? And has the role changed? Who makes the final decision in 2012? Should it change or should we go back to what it used to be? And what difference does it make if a woman makes more than the man? Or does it not make a difference at all? And, you know, I have a clear, I'm very, very conservative and very, very old-fashioned in my own view.
Yeah.
But a lot of women don't, and a lot of men don't feel that way anymore.
Well, it doesn't matter, but we'll talk about that.
It doesn't matter.
Don't call it this yet.
It does matter.
Finish your other stuff.
I'm
going to get to the...
I did that first.
Did you get all the local stuff?
I did that first.
Did you slam our idiot representatives from here for complaining?
I did that first. Yeah. If you had been here at 12:01,
yeah, I couldn't be here.
12:06 is going to be in down at the hairdresser's. You hadn't talked. You would have heard me go off.
I make so much more money at night than I do during the day.
They got nothing with you in the cloth.
Yes, it does.
When
you got
the cloth,
you made money.
You go to Crawford. You tell your coffer to get up at
7 o'clock. I work hard for the money. I work hard for it, honey.
You tell the coffer to get up at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I can't do it.
I can't help but take you 4 hours to get your hair done.
Two.
So I had... And
with all the preachers that's in there.
And that's because he was talking too much.
Absolutely.
So if he quit talking and do his job, then you'd have been out here. But I talked about them already. So the turnpike is a done deal.
Yeah, it's not going to be sold now.
I just want to know. I just couldn't understand.
So you're gonna take the money from the turnpike, and use it to build up the other roads that access the turnpike for Northern Ohio that's having all the problems.
Jeff,
the man's an idiot.
Jeff, who?
Fairberry. I like it as a person. He's my neighbor too. He lives across the road from me. Yes.
I just want to know why is it the Mahoning County the news out of everywhere else in the state. Was positive, except for
because this is the
armpit.
Because we are the armpit of America right here in Mahoning County.
But we decide the president.
Yeah.
I thought I'd throw that out.
We're actually closer to another part of the body. But we'll leave that alone too.
And I did bring up the shooting that is in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I can't believe somebody went into an elementary school and shot it up.
I don't know why.
Why they mess with the kids?
You know, once again, you release that spirit upon America.
But, still, the kids, who goes after kids?
You release that spirit upon America once you've allowed your innocent kids to be killed. What's the difference in?
There's a difference.
There is no difference.
There's a difference.
Not to God there isn't. You have to understand
there's
that.
There's no difference. They're killing it. I mean, do you know what kind of...
What shall ever shall be bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever is bound is loosed in heaven, it on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It's a principle of God.
I mean, I know that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, do we not understand the heinousness of what's going on? And why are we no longer...
Angels don't cry.
Why are we no longer shocked? I mean, you would have thought it would have shut everything down. I'm just stopping.
Just
right
like
there.
Getting allergy
Whatever.
Shots.
Moses versus Santa Claus. I've got to listen to this off air because I don't know what that says on air. So I have to see what that says because you never know when it gets that raunchy. But I did the Kasich thing. I've done that. I'm not doing the mayor thing.
There's no sense in it.
And what else am I doing? I want to do the relationship thing because I want to talk about that. That's a deep conversation. That is. That's a deep conversation. And I got issues. And I'm leaving the right to work thing. I'm trying to set that up for you for Tuesday. That's from the SIE. And I told them, you know, when I go out and I get these guys to come in and talk to us, especially when they're on opposing sides, I let them know we're conservative talk. You know, we're right leaning, so don't come in here and be surprised by the lean of the right that we have.
Exactly.
So I'm not like some people. You know, they will ambush you. They tell you, oh yeah, come on in, and then when they get here, they throw you under the bus.
Right.
I try to be up front and say, listen. You're going to have opposition. Now, hopefully we'll be respectful in the opposition that you have, but this is not going to be a cakewalk. We're going to have a kumbaya symbiotic movement and clap it because it's not going to happen.
And you know, and the thing is I'll be ready with some – I was in a union for many, many years, okay? So I understand union, okay? Just 10 years of my state employment was not – under union rule or control. And they could care less because they tried to stop me from getting everything, you know, before other people got it, which is crazy, you know, which is really crazy. But, you know, it is what it is.
It says that the unions overreached in the 2012 election. I've got to read on this.
They spent so much money; it's ridiculous.
I just think that if they stopped them from electioneering, and they stopped and became a representative.
Unions and churches should be the same.
No, can't be the same.
Yeah,
they won't let churches be the same.
Like us, then the unions have to go to where the church is.
They don't want the union.
But they're done. They're going to be done.
Who's done?
The unions.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
You really think so?
I really think so.
I don't think so, Jeff.
I think they're done.
Why do you think they're done?
The judgment is wrong. Here it is. You can have a set of people that are so angry and mean. And this is the thought. A child, it's okay to be pro-choice when it comes to killing your baby. But it's not pro-choice or whether you need to join an organization or a club so you can go to work at a certain job. Oh, it's not that. That's you don't have no choice.
You have
on that.
No choice at all. You must be part.
But you can go kill your baby. That's right. That pro choice. But the pro choice, see, it's an unjust balance, unfair weight. God is going to judge it. They're done.
I don't know, Jeff. I ain't gonna say they done.
I'm saying that particular part of
because
things.
I'll tell you why I say that. Because the choices that we're making, this goes for everyone. The majority of them are not of righteous judgment. And because of that, we are going in the direction that we're going, and it's going to just take everyone with them, not just unions. It's not going to just start with unions. It's not going to start with – because even if you look at business, even if you look at family, if you look at – that's why I want to get into relationship. Even when you look at all this, you can see the writing on the wall that shows you that most of it is just out of balance. There is no just balance. The judgment is just off on all sides. everywhere. People not right across the board. It ain't just the unions. It's the preacher too. Because see, because they're allowed to deal with issues, and they don't even stand up for the issues. So it can't be just unions. Ain't no choice nowhere. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic. I've been a little bit all over. We did that local thing because we had to, because I just can't understand how our local elected people, and I want to say our local selected people, how they could go through this whole, everybody in the state says it's a good idea to leverage.
But Representative Gerberry doesn't think so.
It was more than Gerberry. I saw Carol Rigetti last night.
Oh, not Carol.
I'm talking about the commissioners.
Come on, Carol.
The commissioners were on the television last night.
Big Poppy, too.
Poppy was somewhere singing in the wind.
Did he not say anything?
He didn't say
nothing. Good.
But again,
I still got respect for him. I expect the others to be a certain way.
But you don't always have to pop to toe the party line.
No, you don't.
I don't understand. It's like, you know, I said Jay has a good thought every now and then. I mean, I just don't understand. I just don't get it. So what else? What else? Oh, the Browns play tomorrow?
Not tomorrow.
Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Who do they play?
We're playing Kansas City. With RG3, he's going to be in the game.
Oh, that's what I wanted to play?
Mm-hmm.
I knew there was something else. Tell me, why don't you tell my listening audience, Jeff, who is RG3?
Well, Robert Griffin III.
And who is he?
He's the son of Robert Griffin II. or Junior.
Is that Archie
Griffin's nephew or something?
I don't know what he does.
He's a quarterback for Kansas City.
Okay, you got to understand what's going on here. You said it's RG3.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain what's happening. RG3.
Oh, yeah, he's a conservative. Too.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
No, there's more to it than this. There's more to it than this. Because it was on my Facebook page, and I thought I'd sent it out, but I guess I did not. And it was on ESPN. I guess they do know, you guys have now have talk radio, talk programs on ESPN.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Big
y'all be,
time.
Yeah, y'all be talking.
Now have.
Yeah, y'all be talking about the sports and talking about the lives and talking about that thing and, you know. And so I need to find this. Where is it? You got to. No, I don't want that. Somebody, I got to find this. It's really kind of bad.
What, the thing they said about him?
Yeah.
I can, let me pull it up for you here. I'll try to get it over to you in the link.
Yeah,
that's
it.
My boyfriend Texas sent it to me the other day.
I want to.
He was mad, you know.
Hold on, I found it. I got it. Hold on. There it is.
Is he,
the number again. Yeah. I don't understand this. Listen to this. I don't want you to understand that. Now, C-SPAN just did the black thing, right?
Yeah.
And I get in trouble all the time. See, I'm just used to it. But I don't understand. This is, he had a white girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. He's not the first ball player to have a white girlfriend. Hello.
Can you say OJ?
Serious topic, though, folks. Seriously, what does this say about RG3?
This is an interesting topic, but. For me, personally, just me,
mm-hmm.
This throws up a red flag when I keep hearing, and I don't know who's asking the questions, but we've heard a couple of times now of a black guy kind of distancing himself away from black people.
Okay.
I understand the whole story of I just want to be the best. Nobody's out on the field saying to themselves, I want to be the best black quarterback. You're just playing football, right? You just want to be the best. You want to throw the most touchdowns and have the most yards and win the most games. Nobody is doing that. But time and time we keep hearing this, so it just makes me wonder deeper about him. And I talked to some people down in Washington, D.C., and my question, honestly,
friends of yours, right?
Friends of mine, right, who are around and in some of the press conferences, people I've known for a long time. But my question, which is just a straight, honest question, is he a brother or is he a cornball brother?
What does that mean?
Yeah, explain that.
Well, he's not really. Okay, he's black. He kind of does the thing, but he's not really down with the cause. He's not one of us. He's kind of black. He's in the book, but he's not really like the guy you really want to hang out with because he's off to something else.
Why is that your question?
Well, because that's just how I want to find out about him. I don't know because I keep hearing these things. We all know he has a white fiance, and it was all this talk about he's a Republican, which there's no information at all. I'm just trying to dig deeper into why he has an issue, because we did find out with Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was like, I got black skin, but don't call me black. So people got a little wondered about Tiger Woods early on about him.
What do RG3's braids say to you?
Now, that's different, because to me, that's very urban and makes you feel like, I think he would have a clean cut if he was more straight lace or not. Like, wearing braids is, you're a brother,
sorry?
If you got braids on.
Stephen A., what's your take on this?
Well, first of all, let me say this. I'm uncomfortable with where we just went. RG3, the ethnicity, the color of his fiance, is none of our business. It's irrelevant. He can live his life any way he chooses. The braids that he has in his hair, that's his business. That's his life. He can live their life. I mean, I don't judge someone's blackness based on those kind of things. I just don't do that. I'm not that kind of guy. What I would say to you is that the comments that he made are fairly predictable. I think it's something that he may feel, but it's also a concerted effort to compete, to appease the masses to some degree, which I'm finding relatively irritating, because I don't believe that the black athlete has any responsibility whatsoever to have to do such things. Let me say this clearly. There is absolutely, I don't know of anybody who goes into something trying to be the best black anything. But so we understand that. That's a given. But I do think it's important to acknowledge a level of pride and a level and a feeling of a level of accomplishment for being somebody who happens to be of African American descent, who competes and achieves and accomplishes things on this level while also bringing attention to some degree anyway to the proud and the proudness and pride that they feel being black, because they're allowing themselves to be a reminder to those who preceded them, who worked so hard, accomplished and achieved so much, but were denied the accolades that that individual is receiving just because of the shared ethnicity that they have. In other words, I come to ESPN every day. I work across my friend and partner in crime in Skip Bayless. It is clear that I am a black man, and I am very, very proud to be a black man and to achieve what I have achieved. Even though I'm not trying to be the best black anything, I do take it as a badge of honor when young black kids come up and they say, we admire you, we respect you, we appreciate what you've accomplished, we want to be like you, Mr. Smith. I don't think I'm deserving of it, but I'm very proud of it. I'm especially proud when older individuals who paved the way for me as pioneers come to me and say they are proud at how I represent us, because they're not saying that I'm trying to do it just for my community, but they're recognizing that in my community, I'm held to a higher standard and I'm living up to it. And I find no shame in that, and I have no desire to distance or separate myself from my own and our ethnicity, our culture, our community, just so white folks in America can be pleased and be perceive me as, non-offensive, non-competent. I don't worry about all of that. I just be the best that I can be, but I do take a little pride by being recognized by my own, because I love everybody. I don't hate anybody, but I'm a black man, and I love my people.
Hey, Steve.
And I'm never going to myself from that.
I thought you said that very well. But that other, I can't believe that it had that. I mean, that was on ESPN. Jeez, oh man, what were they doing?
Well, in all fairness, the guy that the first guy that was speaking needs to be fired.
I think he was just a guest.
Well, he needs to never come back on again. Then
who is
he? I'm being facetious because I don't really believe that. You know that.
Don't believe what?
That he should never come back on again. But if you're going to put the standards toward white people, toward black people that you did toward white people,
now,
saying crazy stuff like that, he should never be on.
I mean, because
interviewed
the article,
again.
Local call. Hold on. The article that I'm reading now, it says, you know, ESPN has a history of black quarterback controversies. Going back to Rush Limbaugh,
absolutely,
and with Donovan McNabb, and you know he really went off on him because he's a Republican and got a white girlfriend,
right.
A white fiance, and I was like, wow, that's kind of deep. Local call.
Hello,
you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just wondering, had you guys seen that awful shooting that killed all those kids in school?
Yes, ma'am. We talked about it a little bit earlier.
Well, I just turned my TV on now. You know, I've been turning off everything every day and just listening to the radio. Now I can't listen to anything. This is really this is terrible.
Yes, ma'am.
What is going on here?
Well, I think Jeff answered it. Jeff, you can re-answer that a little bit earlier. I mean,
we've released a spirit of murder upon this nation because we legalized killing innocent children in the first place. So what's the difference in killing them after they're born than you do if you kill them in the womb? The spirit that kills doesn't care. It's going to kill them whether they're in the womb or out. So that's what you have going on, and you're going to see more of it.
Well, I didn't know you had discussed it.
That's okay. It's open mic.
Because I just got, you know, just come in and turn on things. And I just was so nervous and hurt. And well, this country glories in guns, so what we expect.
Guns have nothing to do with it.
I think so.
No, ma'am, because you know what? You can do the same thing with a stick of dynamite. You can go in there with three people and swords and kill up that many people. It doesn't matter. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of murder. Whether you took the guns away, you're still going to have that spirit working.
27 years old. Innocent little school children. This is the worst I've seen.
Yes, it is. But you know what? 1.3 million babies a year is worse than that. How about that?
Well, I understand about the abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see that, but this I see.
But you're reacting to that, and what I'm saying is God is saying.
Let me say it this way. You know what? We need to understand that which we manifest, even if it's invisible, like a child. It will manifest in the visible eventually. It may not happen when it happens, but you can see the rage of the whole nation, not just you know of this shooting here, but look at you said 27 babies in one day in Connecticut, but heck, we got 26 lives that we've killed here in Youngstown just alone.
I'm an older person. My nerves are practically shot. I was hearing Obama gonna take our guns and all that kind of mess. And I don't understand this. These guys that's coming shooting people like that. It's so sad. I think so. This is sad for America because we glory in guns in this country. I don't want to get into the abortion bit.
Well, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter. You can say what you want to. A gun is nothing but an instrument to use, and you do not need a gun to kill people, and therefore when you release a spirit of murder, which is what we have going on in this country, they'll use whatever they have to kill people.
Well, these people that's doing this killing, what do you think's wrong here? These young, and they're all young people. What is their problem?
We've taken out stand. I mean, think about this. I mean, I don't even know you. Because okay, when I say this, I don't recognize your voice enough to to say I know who this is on the phone, even if I may know you personally. But because of your age, or because of the way you sound, I know that you have some age, which means you're older than me.
Of course, I'm old enough for your mother.
Okay, so I'm going to respect you just by the sound of your voice. I'm going to give you a respected as I would a peer of my mom. So I'm not going to cuss around you. I'm going to give you your due respect. Do we realize that we have allowed all standards of respect to leave? And we don't think we have to have any respect for the Creator. And when you kick the Creator out of your environment, who do you think shows up?
Well, we know who that is.
Amen. So when he shows up, what do you think he brings? He brings destruction and he brings death.
But this is really, you know, I'm an elderly person. I don't deny, thank God, I'm for my age. But I was just wondering, I know you guys always talking, what is it, don't you think that we need to check and see what's with these young people? My goodness.
We're doing it every day. I mean, do you realize how many people are getting killed every day by young people? I can't kill a cat. I've wrecked my car trying to not hit a deer, and all they're going to do is hit me and tear up my car.
Yeah, I realize.
And we have people who have no problem, and they don't mind fighting, killing, shooting, stabbing. It doesn't matter because we have allowed death to become our new inner form of entertainment. We are desensitized to it.
I'll let you go. I appreciate you guys taking the time to talk with me.
Oh, you're welcome.
I was in the doctor's office yesterday morning, and there's a sign on the door as you enter. It said, no cell phone. If you have a phone, you know, turn them off. Do you know when I entered the office and I sat down, took off my coat, that was this young, beautiful young lady sitting there talking on the cell phone, signs up there. Put away your cell phones. I'm talking about, what is this thing you think that they don't understand about?
We don't make them as children comply, and when you don't make people comply as young people, they don't grow up and comply as old people.
Well,
the Bible talks about a rebellious generation.
Well, I hope that this will be checked, because I know this is a young person killing these little children, I think we need to a whole lot of time, some community time, taking up time with the youth, because I understand, I don't know why, because, you know, I have grandchildren. They don't understand rules and regulations and things that people have to go by. This, everything is the way I want it. I don't get it.
We don't teach it. You can't get what you don't teach. You know, you got to realize you can't get out what you don't put in, and we ain't putting in respect, so we're not getting any respect out.
Nope.
Well, okay. Thanks, folks, for listening to me.
You're welcome. We appreciate you.
I just turn it on, and it's, you know, old lady like me gets upset.
We appreciate you so much, and we
thank
love you.
You
thank
all,
you.
You young people, if you can do anything for the youth in the community, please do. I'm thinking that we
try.
Need it.
We're trying, but again, it takes a village to raise a child, and unless the child wants to be raised and the parent and the community understands its problems, then it goes wayward. And we are looking at a wayward community because we don't want to put any standards in, because we want to be liked.
Well,
this, you know, when you were raising your children, and it sounds like you come from my mother's era, in your children, you didn't live in a house where there was a democracy. You laid down the rules and they went by it.
Oh, yeah, I go back to the old days. Now the rules were in my house, Trace, I had the rules, and I'm not bragging. I had problems, like, you know, parents. But
parents have problems.
But the rule was, I'm going to get up and fix your breakfast. You can't get and you know, wash your clothes, do whatever, and you can't get up out the bed and go to school and obey the teacher. She send you back, I'm going back. But then you don't go back there. They said that's the old days, so I'm scared to talk about it.
But you, again, can't be scared because it was right. It kept us, let me ask this, it kept us alive, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That's all that matters.
And the kids didn't kill each other.
No, ma'am.
Love each other. I don't understand that.
Hey, we got to understand. Listen, I got to take my break. I'll be right back.
Yeah, okay.
God bless you.
Right.
We love you. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. When I come back, I'll pick up Stanley and Philadelphia that's on the line. Jeff's here in the studio with me. It is 12:59 here on WSOM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side of our break.
You enjoy what you're listening to and what you're about to listen to. That's why you pick this station. Now the programming you love goes where you go, thanks to iHeartRadio. It's a free app that plays this station and over 1,500 stations from across the country. Your favorite station now plays on everything. iPhone, iPad, Android, Windows Phone, BlackBerry, even Xbox, Google TV, or Kindle Fire, totally free. iHeartRadio.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends.
So race to the scene when he heard the news. ABC's Aaron Kuchersky is there.
Police and agents from Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms are here with guns drawn. It's believed one gunman is dead, another may be at large, as multiple people were shot here at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. Many parents are here to pick up their children. Schools are in lockdown, but parents say they felt panic on their drive over to this school, hoping that their kids would be okay.
And again, the very latest on this developing story, at least 25 people dead, many of them children. House members are heading home this weekend. They're also being told to finish their holiday shopping because they could be at work next Saturday and Sunday. Just over 2 weeks to the deadline for the fiscal cliff, and there is still no deal in place to avert it.
Certainly no prospects right now of a major deficit deal. One kind of a fallback plan Republicans are talking about is that they would agree to extend whatever tax cuts they can. That means the middle-class tax cuts the president wants to extend, but do nothing else. That means a big battle over the debt ceiling coming in the early part of the year.
ABC News senior political correspondent Jonathan Carl. President Obama says it was not his choice, but the voters in Washington and Colorado spoke, and they agreed to legalize small amounts of marijuana, and they will not be the government's focus.
It does not make sense from a prioritization point of view for us to focus on recreational drug users in a state that has already said that under state law that's legal.
The president also says he's had to talk about drugs with his kids and told them he did smoke marijuana in his youth, but hopes his daughters will learn from his mistakes. This is ABC News.
Hey, what's happening? I'm Right Brand Bacon, the bigger, better bacon. When you bite into Right Brand Bacon, it's like DJ Bacon dropping a beat in a packed bacon disco in your mouth. I'm so meaty and delicious, I'm like candy. When you fry me up, I smell so good, it draws a crowd like free money. I'm so tender.
Right Brand Bacon, bigger, better bacon. Find out more at biggerbetterbacon.com.
A murdered congressman, a massive cover-up. Will discovering the truth put the entire country at risk? Unravel the mystery set at the crossroads of politics and medicine in Political Suicide. Political Suicide, new from Michael Palmer, author of The First Patient. This gripping thriller gets your heart racing as returning hero Dr. Lou Welcome uncovers a deadly conspiracy. Read Political Suicide by New York Times best-selling author Michael Palmer today.
It's been said that necessity is the mother of invention, and a man in suburban Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who was in a potentially life or death situation, found a new use recently for a relatively new invention.
Whoever duct taped Derek Schaefer to a chair left his Xbox turned on. So the 22-year-old started yelling. The microphone on the headset he wears when he's playing online picked up his voice.
He was yelling into his Xbox, and one of his gaming partners actually called 911, so... Who'd have thought that?
Skip Schaefer is Derek's relieved father. He says the home invader held a knife to his son's throat and stole guns, cash, and thousands of dollars worth of jewelry. But Derek, a recent cancer survivor, was not hurt. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Actress Sally Struthers has entered a not guilty plea on charges of drunk driving in Maine. She was arrested back in September in a resort town where she was performing in a musical. She's best known for her role as Gloria Stivick in the 1970s TV sitcom All in the Family. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Because Mike switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, his money clip wants to shake his hand firmly for a solid 3 seconds, but can't. Fact is, most money clips don't have hands to shake with. Switch to Geico, and every time you notice the extra cash, you'll know your money clip wants to give you a firm handshake. But remember, it can't. It doesn't have hands. It is how...
At Sam's Club, get more cheer for your holidays, all for less than you thought possible. Find the gifts on everyone's list, from brands like Samsung, Eddie Bauer, and Keurig. And serve up the finest flavors of the season with Sam's Club gourmet appetizers, premium meats, and Cheesecake Factory desserts, all at exceptional value. Not a member yet? Join Sam's Club and get more cheer for less. Life is better when you're in the club. Sam's Club. Join and save. See club for details.
I'm Fred Morant from Window World, and flattered that competitors try to imitate us with a window similar to our 189 any size install. But I'll never worry, because no one can match our quality, service, or warranty, and few carry the Good Housekeeping seal. But don't take my word that Window World is simply the best for less. Call us now at 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW for a free in-home estimate, or visit our showroom on Southern Boulevard and see why Window World is the largest window replacement company in America.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassetech.com.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And I hope you're having a good day today. It is 9 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600. Tracy and Friends via Blog Talk Radio. It is Friday. It's open mic, as we always have. I do my best. You have no idea. I do my best to make sure that we keep these days open as open mic so we can talk about what you like. I've got a local call calling. Oh, they went. Then again, if you want to call locally, the number is 330-781-9600. But I would prefer that you call on the internet line so that we have more time and we can actually hear you better without the rambling, and then you can stay on longer and I don't have to cut you off. Philadelphia, go ahead.
Yeah, with the RG3 situation, that's because he's a black Republican. There's many black
Am I a cornball?
Well, there's a woman here.
Cornball.
There's a woman in this area. Her last name is something like a Moore. I think her first name is Renea Moore. She's a She's a black Republican in Pennsylvania, and she gets lambasted by most of the local black leaders because she is a Republican. And it's something about the Democratic Party. They have such a hold on black people. If anybody ventures outside of that, then they get ostracized.
That's because they come off the plantation.
Right, and I think that's the reason, that's the controversy with RG3 is because he's a black Republican. Now, I was surprised that LeBron James didn't get a white girlfriend because most of the black ball players have white girlfriends.
I think the only reason why is because she is from high school.
Oh.
I mean, because, you know, it's like Magic Johnson. And I mean, when you bring them up from high school and it's your same girlfriend and you keep them along the way, even no matter you waver along the way, or even Shaq, you tend to keep within the confines of where you are. Because what happens to most professional athletes, what happens is you don't have access to African-Americans as easily as you do white Americans when you get to a certain level of professionalism, because they are not a part of that inner circle that can actually get you into the private clubs, the private seating, and they actually feed you people to help you spend your money.
But also I think a lot of them seek out white women because it's a status symbol.
No, it ain't. And it's not that they seek them out. That's all they're – you have to understand, when you go into the clubs, of the basketball clubs, you don't find a whole lot of black girls in there.
Can I say something? No, that's not
what's
true.
What?
That's not. No, he's exactly right. It's because you strive after. When we were in high school.
Yeah.
You know what we always would say?
What?
Man, I'm gonna go over there and get me one of those white girls. That was what it was, because you thought that getting a white girl was attaining something, and you're sitting there, you know, with girls right, you know, right where you're at. Beautiful girls, it doesn't matter. But the thing is a status symbol to black people because they've been conditioned.
But again, do you understand where I'm coming from? Even in your conditioning, see, just because you get one, you don't have to bring them home and marry them.
That's not, yes, you do.
But it was said from the very beginning that that's one thing the white man did not want the black man to have is the white woman. And that's one
right.
of the reasons why the Klan was formed, to try to prevent that from happening. So if a black man gets a white woman, he thinks he's arrived.
This is true, and he thinks he's equal to, and see, don't forget that he's equal to the white man because he can get his woman. You have to understand that the conditioning, that's a psychological conditioning.
So you don't think it has anything to do with not being accessible to black women either? Because, I mean, if you look, you really don't get the opportunity. I mean, seriously, you walk around the room and there are no black women.
Walk around what room?
When you go into the clubs,
mm-hmm.
the sports clubs,
yeah,
there are no black women in there.
I disagree with you.
Oh, I'm when you get to a certain financial, and when I talk about the clubs, I'm talking about the club room after.
There might be fewer.
No. When I say there are very few,
mm-hmm.
you know. Just from working in the NBA, my personal self, you look around the room, there ain't a whole lot of black folks besides the players in that room.
Up in Pittsburgh, I forget the little area called, but it's the area where all the Pirates and the Steelers and the hockey guys as well go. And they doing these things a certain way. And I'm telling you, I went over there because my boys were playing over there. A couple of my friends were playing over there. And so I went and hung out with them. And It was absolutely.
I think you're missing my point when I said club.
I'm not talking about the
dance club. I'm talking about what happens is when you get done playing, that most of your arenas have your club box seats.
Yeah.
Those box seats are held by corporations and held by people of affluence.
Okay.
Those the club the actual afterwards.
Okay, you're talking
you
about
are,
the seating in the club.
I'm not talking about the club.
And the lodge.
I'm not talking about the dance club.
I got you.
You might find a whole lot of sisters and everybody mixed and mingled in there.
Well, entertainment club, so it's
right.
Not all dance. Uh-huh.
But when you when you have the places where they actually bring you have owners that actually go out and I want to say herd girls.
Mm-hmm.
To be there. They're not black. They're not black women.
Uh-huh.
They are not wholesome either. But, you know, they're there for the pickings, and they make sure that they're – I mean, I look at Tiger Woods.
Uh-huh.
Tiger Woods' circle did not bring him into
– ever.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, ever. It wasn't just about after he arrived. It was before he arrived.
His circle did not bring him into the black community.
But in the case with Tiger Woods is what you would call somebody who's an Amerasian. He really is not a black man. He's more of a mixed race Asian.
He's a Coco Belasian.
Yeah. So you know, he really was not raised as a black person. So
okay.
The fact that he married white, I was not surprised by that. And the fact that all of his affairs happen to be with white women. I wasn't surprised.
I gotta go here. I got a question for you. If that be the case, how do we get First Lady Michelle Obama?
Well, the way you got Michelle Obama, because Barack Obama was a strategic thinker. He knew that he would not get the black vote in Chicago if he was married to a white woman. So therefore, he knew he would have to marry an African American who was from Chicago to get that seat in the state senate in Chicago.
Don't people marry for love no more?
Can I say this? I think it fit absolutely perfectly for him to pick a black woman.
He wouldn't be president if he had a white
wife. Because he's a white-minded person. And what do white men want?
That's not true.
Yes, it is. They want a black woman.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. Now, people think I'm crazy for that, and I realize it, and I'm okay with it because, you know, I stand by my own thought.
Family, your mic is on. Go ahead.
But absolutely. It fits perfectly. He's not black-minded at all.
Right. He's not black-minded.
His daddy,
by his side, she helps to ground his identity in blackness because a recent biography came out about Obama – the man's last name is Marinus, David Marinus, and he wrote in there that Barack did not have a black identity up until the time that he met Michelle.
Well, I could have told you that. I could have wrote a book and told you that. He didn't even have an American identity living in Hawaii. Hawaii's not. We looked at the mainland.
Yeah. And that's the reason why he stayed in Jeremiah Wright's church for so long, because he had to learn how to be a black man.
So you guys are really telling me that situation with black men today is still the same as it was yesterday?
Absolutely.
But when do we get past
it? Is because even today, if a black man goes into certain areas that are all white, he's still kind of looked upon as like somebody who shouldn't be there. So, you know,
so you're trying to tell me that a white woman validates you? It's like a rite of passage?
Yeah. Well, you know, I would say yes. And for black men that have accomplished a lot in life, they look upon having a white wife as saying, look, I can have exactly what a white man has.
Exactly. And can I say this? Getting a white woman in many cases is like attaining the Ferrari.
Right.
Okay? You have to look at it that way. That's what it means to some of these people.
Right.
Okay. You know, it's just like they got the Ferrari. Man, I got me a Ferrari.
Now, hold on. What percentage of men are we talking about here?
Well, I mean, we can't say it. It's only endemic to those that are sports-minded. What does it take low intellect to play, okay? You don't need a high intellect to play sports a lot of times, although there's plenty of the brothers that are out there that have a very high intellect, okay?
Look at Brian Gumbel. He got a high intellect, right wife.
Oh, yeah, but very much a high intellect. But that's what I'm saying. It's not necessarily tied into that, but it is tied into that attainment thing.
Right.
And it's also tied into, especially if you have a very educated black man, he's not going to find a whole lot of educated black women of his level.
But even if you have a black man that's educated, sometimes they will deliberately go out and seek white women.
Why?
Because of the fact that is a symbol of something that his ancestors were denied, and that's something in white society that the white man does not want to see the black man have.
What kind of car did black people want to drive back in the day?
Cadillacs.
Thank you. Same difference. All the white woman is, in a lot of instances, to some black, especially jocks, is a Cadillac. And I hate to put it in that simple of a term, but it's an attainment. And
right,
I understand it.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. I understand it. But the thing is they don't necessarily understand it. They just know what they're going to go get. And like I said, when I was in high school, whenever we would go over to the, you know, to mixed high schools and this, that, and another for sports games, this, that, and another, man, I got me a white girl's number.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. We're looking at a whole nother. We're looking at a whole nother generation, Jeff.
It doesn't matter.
You were raised in the 60s where you couldn't go down the street with a white girl and not get harassed. You look at nowadays, you know, it's just common.
Not get her what?
Get arrested.
Oh.
Well. Also, you know, people look at how attractive the white woman is too, and a lot of these men are starting to get very attractive white women as well. So you know that also has something to do with it. But also, you know, the power structure is still controlled by white people. So therefore, if you're black in this society and you achieve anything, you want exactly what the white people have.
Exactly.
So, hold on. I
disagree with this. This is
what did you say, Stanley? You disagree?
No, I disagree with this. Black men are approaching white women and everything because they don't want to have the confrontation that they will have with a black woman. A lot of
Whoa! What do you mean by that, Stanley?
They don't want to have the attitude, the confrontation, the I'm independent, I don't need you type of attitude. And a lot of black men don't want to have that, they want to have peace, so they'll go out with a white girl and they'll see the difference. I know a lot of friends here in New York, they basically went out with black girls and say, I couldn't stand always having to bicker and fight and do this. So I went out with a white girl and I don't have that.
Are you trying to say the mad black woman syndrome is real?
Oh, yeah. I truly believe that.
You know what? Stanley.
That attitude. I'm independent. I don't need you. I shouldn't be submissive to any man. Blah, 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 blah. And just fight and fight. And after a while, man is like saying, enough. I don't want to hear this. Enough.
Stanley, are you really trying to say the mad black woman syndrome is a real thing?
Yes.
That's what I hear you saying. So before I beat you up, I just want to make sure I'm getting this right.
When he did that movie, Alexander, when he did that movie, a lot of black people could say that was the movie we waited. Like you women, when you had that movie Waiting to Excel, we had a movie that we need to tell you that this is how we feel.
Now, let me ask you, do black women have mad black woman syndrome? I'm going to get all y'all in trouble.
Well, there's no doubt about it.
Well,
I mean, there's no doubt about it that black women in America, I told you this before, they treat black men a certain way. There's no doubt. I partially agree with Stanley on this because it is definitely an issue. But that's not the only issue, because why wouldn't you go get an Asian woman? you know, if that was the case.
They would, but Asian women don't want nothing.
That's not true. Well, no. Why wouldn't you get a Hispanic woman? Because an Hispanic woman doesn't isn't touched.
They do. And you got to realize the ranking for black women is like at the bottom of the list.
That's because black women watch white men treat their men with disrespect to get them to move. And so, therefore, they thought that they have to do the same things. That's
in terms of the reason why black women have those issues, because a lot of black women have self-esteem issues, and that just ties into it. And that's the reason why they argue so much and they want to fight so much.
Is that true?
But even if that's true, they have self-esteem issues. It doesn't give them the right to have an attitude and things like that. As a black man, we want to have – if you're going to be my partner, my main squeeze, the love of my life, I don't want to hear you always challenging my manhood, always trying to say, what are you doing that for? I'm like, because that's the direction I think we should do.
I think that's you, Alex. You got a comment on this?
Yeah, I do. How everybody doing? How you doing, Tracy?
Good. How you doing, darling?
Chandler.
How's that?
Yeah.
How are you, Alex?
You know, I think that everybody's touching on some truths. I can only speak from my experience. You know, I do know a couple. I mean, I know a handful of actual millionaires. Only one of them is actually he's mixed, but he's not all the way black. And I know quite a few very well-to-do, six-figure earning brothers, you know what I'm saying? And so from my opinion here, you know, there is some truth to the argumentativeness and just many black women, you know, because in a lot of times it's unfortunate because – a lot of black women, sometimes you think that they don't really want a man. They just want a lap dog or just somebody's just going to, you know, pay their bills, you know, give them good sex, and then just, you know.
And move furniture.
But move furniture, and God forbid that man ever tells them what to do. You know, God forbid that man says, okay, let's get serious about our finances here, and I want to start investing or whatever. Oh, you can't tell me what to do with my money. I'm my own woman. I'm strong, independent, blah, 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 whatever.
God forbid he talks about the weight also, Alex. That's another thing. Don't talk about the weight if you're a black man to a black woman. Don't talk about the weight thing.
No, Stanley, that can get you killed no matter what color.
Right.
No matter what.
Then you watch the Geico commercial?
Stanley, that can get you killed no matter what the color. That is the color thing.
Didn't you watch the Geico commercial?
Yeah, that's a
wild
thing.
Stanley, you know, if my butt fat means jeans, that's a question that goes, that's cross culture. You just don't do that. And you can lose all your privileges for a long time over that.
Yeah.
But
I just want to say that one real quick, that a lot of times, like Stanley said, black women will challenge your manhood. And it's like, you know, I think it's hard for a lot of black women, I think because of our history, to let a man actually lead and be head of household. That is very difficult for many black women, no matter how much a man makes, no matter how strong he is.
I asked that earlier.
A man can be as big as Shaq, 100 millionaire, $100, you know what I'm saying? And it won't matter. And she still won't let that man lead. You know,
I got to take up for women. A lot of
black men, they'll go to, like, they actually think that it's just easier to go with a white woman because, or an Asian, or if they're around, because you'll see, and I've seen it, you'll have a very high-attaining white woman. She'll have a PhD, make six figures herself, but when it comes to her husband, she submits to her husband, no matter how well-attained that she is. And I think that is the difference right there. Why a lot of black men, they're like, you know what, it's just easier. to just go over here.
Hold on, now wait a minute. I've got to say some things. A couple of them is we have to understand that there is a problem with the dynamic because most of us, and I can say I'm very, very conservative when in my thinking when it comes to women's lib. I don't think it's real. I think it should go away. But I say that because you have to learn how to become a wife and submissive. And if you are raised in a household where there is either a very, very domineering man or there is no man at all. I'm sorry, a very, very domineering woman or there is no man at all. You have no idea how to deal with that man when you run across one.
That's very true.
I mean, but here's the thing: you don't know anyway because you haven't been raised to know the difference either. You have to understand. We're victims of how we got here in this society, and because of the way that we were treated, that's why a lot of times black men don't respect black women as well. Okay, we treat the black woman as chattel, and as what we own. Why? Because we saw that the master owned all of us, but we're not looking at it from the point he owned us too. We're just looking at it, well, he owned my wife, and whenever he felt like getting him some, he went out to the barn with her, and had him a couple kids by her too. You have to understand that we're messed up in a sense because of some of the things what we experience because every. A master didn't do that, of course. We know that.
And when I say that, I'm looking at this. We are in a society, because even now in the white community, and I need for my white brothers to call in and help me out with this, they're having the same problem with female independence as we are in our community. Hold on, Stanley. When I say that, it's because society has now got this "I am woman, hear me roar, I don't need a man no more" mentality, and
yeah.
It ain't. And I think that you don't have to tell me that because I make my own bread.
But I think the white men.
Whoa! One at a time.
Wait up, Tracy. The white women learn how to treat a man properly. The black women don't. That's one thing that I've gone to many families, and the father teaches the daughter how to teach him how to treat a man properly, and she knows that. Black women, you don't know that, how to treat a man properly.
That's
what breed that way.
There are some women out there that know how to treat a man, and a man will not man up and allow you to treat them that way.
A lot of black women, and when you're talking about the independent attitude, I'm sorry, I don't hear it from Haitian women, I don't hear it from German women, I don't hear it from white women. All that came from black women saying, I'm strong and independent. That came from any white woman I know.
When you have a good woman, a lot of times you guys don't know how to treat them either. Hold on, local call.
Oh, yes. I was just going to speak for Puerto Rican women. Do you know that they had slavery longer in Puerto Rico? It didn't end until the 1800s, 1880-something. They had slavery over there. And a lot of Puerto Ricans are predominantly mixed with black because they're the slaves. They don't own up to it. They consider themselves to be a culture, not a race. But there's black, there's white, and then there's Indian. All three cultures were all mixed in once, just like here in America. And they only own up to being either Puerto Rican or white. But actually, Puerto Rican is not a race. And I try to explain that to everybody. But they're also trying to assimilate more to the white culture. They marry white women, and it's no big deal. The women marry white men, it's no big deal, because the mixture is so mixed up already, and that's what America is coming to be in a while, like maybe by 2030. It's going to all be predominantly mixed, just like Puerto Ricans are now. So guys discuss it. I'll let you go.
Wait a minute. When you talk about Puerto Rico, when you talk about other cultures, the difference between the slavery in other cultures and the slavery in other areas was the dehumanization that they did to the people of America, African Americans. You have to understand they did not do that in other cultures. They did not.
Puerto Rico, they did.
Not to the extent.
Well,
Jim Crow didn't come through.
No. You didn't have a Jim Crow or the black culture.
That
was a good reason for that.
Hello.
Do you know how the Puerto Rican people came to be?
No, not entirely. I know.
Okay. Well, you had all of the black men in the slave trade. Okay. Puerto Rico was one of the islands, the staging islands, before entering the United States. Okay. When they shut off the slave trade from coming into America, the Puerto Ricans, I mean, you know, you had all these black men on that island of Hispanic people down in Puerto Rico. So what was going on is you had the potato famine in Ireland, and they were promising the Irish women, if they'd come down there and marry one of those black men, those African men, that they would give them so much land to farm, et cetera, down there in Puerto Rico. And that's what they did. And they created a mulatto race, and then they kicked off everybody else off the island. That was the way it went. That's how you have the Puerto Rican people as they are.
That's not entirely accurate, Jeff.
They mixed with the Africans and the Indios, which were already on the island. It's the African Spaniards. The European Spaniards were considered white. They are considered white.
Right now they are, yes.
They've always been white Europeans, and they came over, they established that island. They killed off most of the Indians, and then the ones that were left, they married with them or mixed with them. They mixed with the Africans. That's the three heads of Puerto Rican: the Africans, the white Spaniards that came from Spain, and the Indians. And that's the Irish part. I never heard about that, but I'll take your word for it.
But what I'm saying is, when we talk about the cultures of how, because there are, I mean, black women are extremely strong. And it takes a very, very strong man to be able to deal with the strength of her. The problem is she doesn't know how to deal with her own strength.
It takes a strong man to deal with any woman.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, man, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We have to ask you one question.
Yeah.
Are you a Puerto Rican?
I'm half and half.
Okay, we had to verify so we knew we had a good witness here, okay?
Thanks.
But they try to predominantly display themselves as a race instead of being a culture. That's like if you're African American, that is not your race. That's just
your culture.
Your culture. And so they get almost like a free pass because they're like, oh, we're Puerto Rican. We're not black. We're not white. We're just Puerto Rican. No. No, you got to go. You can't have it, your cake and eat it too. And that's all I got to say. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for calling in. Philadelphia, go ahead. I've got to take a break, but go ahead.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. The Puerto Rican is a mix between the European, Spanish, the Indian, and African. And
you also have the Irish.
But the main difference is North America was settled mostly by the English, and they didn't believe in allowing the races to intermarry, whereas the Spanish and the Portuguese down in South America, they allowed that, and that's the reason why you have such a large sort of mixed race population in the islands and in South America.
Well, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends.
Hey, Alabama.
Yes, Alex.
I was just going to say that it's a little bit different. The reason why Puerto Ricans are so mixed, it really has to do with you have to go a little deeper. I mean, when the Spaniards first got there, they killed, you know, they went to war with the Indians or the Taino, that's what they, or Boricua Indians or whatever. And they killed off all the men, and so all the men were gone. It was just left with mostly women and children. And they basically killed off all the men, and the rest they enslaved to work in the to mine gold. And that's where the name Puerto Rico comes from. It just means rich port because of the gold that they were extracting from there. And but once they ran out of Indian men, that's when they had to bring in African men. But there was only women left, you know. And so they did a DNA test like back in 2000 in Puerto Rico, and it showed that they were, you know, they had virtually no male or patrilineal DNA at all from Indian. And it was all the male DNA came from African and Spaniard, you know. And then they were like 60% of their female DNA came from the Indians. So which showed that, you know, which proves genetically that they basically wiped out all the men and, you know, took the rest for then the men, African and European men, ended up, you know, mixing with those Indian women, and that's pretty much that's the reason why, you know, and why it's so mixed like that. And that was a story that kind of repeated itself in several islands and places, you know.
But Alex, what you think that guy here said, the slave mentality and everything, a lot of women use it as an excuse. Oh, it's not our fault because we're slave and this and that, instead of saying, you know what, let's focus on what we do wrong if we don't have a man and everything in our life, and let's improve, like the attitude, like the fighting, like the nagging. Like, I could go through a thing and could just improve, like, get yourself in shape. Like, be positive, be loyal, be kind, be unselfish. You could go through a list of things that if they would do, a lot of black men would be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, same thing with a black man. Like, I'm sure there's a list that we could through, if we're honest, we try to go through. Because I don't believe the slavery thing. If you decide to be kind to me, you just to be kind. If you decide to be foolish and to be nagging and to be acting like a bitch, you decided that, and there are consequences.
Well, also, I think, you know, the fact is that a lot of black households don't have a strong male figure there while the children are in childhood. And with black daughters, they go through phases in their development where they have to compare themselves to the European standard of beauty. And they go things with their hair and with their skin complexion. And if you're not a black father who has black daughters, you basically don't understand how they develop and how their self-esteem develops. So I think that when they get into adulthood and they get into these relationships, they bring these issues about the lack of a father presence. If the father wasn't there all the time, they bring the issues of the fact that they don't feel that they have the same level like in terms of their beauty as a white woman. So they bring all these issues to a marriage and so forth.
But don't you think, even if we take what you just said, let's say you have that issue, you weren't brought up with a father and this and that. Sorry, you weren't brought up with a father. After a while, you got to own up to what you do. If you decide on your set, if you look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, I've been awful in relationship, and it can't be all men. It has to be related to you. After a while, you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, did I did everything possible to make the relationship work? And a lot of women have the audacity, the integrity to tell the truth about themselves. And if you can't even tell the truth about yourself, you're done. You're done. Because you're always going to blame other people, other circumstances, and everything. If you can't look at yourself in the mirror and see yourself, what did I do to make this happen? Because the only person you can control in this world is you. Woman.
Yes,
or
Stanley. Yes, Stanley, I agree with you. I mean, it's ego. You know, I think that's a big problem we have, or that our, you know, sisters have is, it's the ego, you know, and all of us need to check our ego. But I think, you know, I think that's where all that comes from. That it's I don't know. I mean, it's that ego just it can just destroy relationships, you know, which it does.
How many times, Alex, you have heard that those black women going to friends who never had a relationship 3 years and they're getting advice from those people? Really? The women who are the most bitter person as a friend and doesn't like men, didn't have a relationship for 3 years and get advice from them? Instead of going to people who had great relationships, you could go to people who have been married 20 years passionately and ask them, how did you do it? What did you do? What kind of person do I need to be to have this? You think those people won't tell you the truth?
Well, also, I think the ego is... But I think the ego is more of like a defense mechanism against some hidden insecurity that they have. So therefore, they overreact.
After a while, your ego, do you want to be happy in the world or do you want to be right? If you want to be right, go ahead, continue your life. But if you want to be happy, you don't know how to have a happy relationship, you got to go get the book. You got to go get the expert. You got to go fix whatever you need to fix to get that. If you're not good in communication, go get the expert in communication for that. If you're not good in saying, you know what, I don't like standards, go get a book on standards that you need to do. There's so many books, relationships, so many things that you learn on your own to be the best that you need to be. That's if you want to. But if you're going to come with excuse, come with excuse.
Well, I think black women have a lot of psychological.
If you're mean, what you gonna do? You gotta start
it.
We're not mean.
Probably.
You are mean. We're not mean.
Yes, you are.
No, we're not mean.
Trace, I hate to tell you.
We're just directing. You guys
know.
No,
we're not
directing.
You mean?
We're not
mean.
We are not mean. We're just direct. And the problem is, you guys want to walk across us and treat us like dogs.
No, y'all overreact. You act as though somebody said something when they didn't.
You did.
Yeah, I'm saying, but see, that's what I'm saying. That's what
you did.
That's what all women think.
Men, your black men, their ego gets in the way. You guys want to walk across women like they do.
Baby,
and because we say something,
what color
would
you like the room? And then two minutes later, you might mention something else. Oh, that's why you want to know what color the room was going to be because
that's not true.
Yeah, it is true. Because you wanted to do something.
No, that's not true.
What the hell has nothing to do with that? What are you talking about?
You got
it's the way it is, Trace. It's
not true. That's not true.
Yeah,
you guys don't want to treat us with respect, and you don't want to hear what we have to say. And you want to walk across us like doo doo, and want us to take it. And we ain't taking it. What do you have to have to say? Hello, hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Yes, Stanley.
Don't you think respect has to be earned? Because you're saying we have to treat you with respect.
Wait, you're right.
You're right. I just want to go to that moment. You said respect has to, I have to give you respect just because you're a woman. No, I don't.
Yeah.
You can earn it.
If I'm in a relationship with you, I should already have your respect.
Well,
you shouldn't be there.
Okay, I'm in a relationship with you, but you still got to earn it before the relationship. If I get together with you, I shouldn't give you respect until you show me that you're proper. Missy or lady. I'm not going to give the respect.
Listen, I should respect you and you should respect me. There should be mutual respect. That's what I'm saying. So how are you going to disrespect me and don't think that y'all ain't rude?
But see, here's the thing.
Y'all,
I don't know what men you meet because...
Y'all a cop with attitude sit over in the corner and twiddle your thumbs and act like we... And have an attitude.
I don't know what men you meet because... See, I don't know cats like that too much.
I don't know cats, and if I do,
I don't associate with them. You understand? Because I think you just met a whole heck of a lot of crazy
people. I'm not making this personal. I'm not going personal with this. But I'm just saying.
Tracy, when you said we can't accept you being direct. There's a way that you could be direct and still be respectable. You could tell me something directly to me and still have with respect.
Hold on, what do you call respect, Stanley? And
attacking my character and saying, well, you know what? I told you that. Oh, well, you know. And coming like this. There's a way you can say anything you want to a man and he can listen to you. But if you're going to come with character and you're going to start attacking the man.
Well, I think in a lot of cases it depends on how the black woman was raised. It depends on what kind of father figure she had as to how she reacted to other men.
It doesn't give you the right to do it. Even if you were raised without a father, it doesn't give you the right to do it. And we got to stop with the excuse. Like, let's say you didn't get raised by a father. You still have to learn from that and say, you know what? I won't treat my man that way. That's a choice you make.
Again, you got to, it's still an acquired, skill to know how to talk to somebody. And a lot of people don't know how to talk.
No.
They don't know how to talk to someone.
No, and they don't try to figure it out.
But you don't know that you're doing it wrong.
Because any man will tell you, look, doing this, blah, 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 is not going to do this. You tell them, look, this is not. I'm not going to respond to what you do here. You're not going to tell me the X, Y, and Z and expect me to just jump and do it. Because first of all, you're not my mama, and you're not, you know, and you're not the police or anything like that. You know, I'm not in a relationship like that with you. I'm your husband, I'm your boyfriend, whatever it is. You're not going to disrespect me and expect me to cooperate with you.
Exactly.
See, because men will always do this one. You're not the only sand at the beach.
Exactly.
Okay?
And like Jeff is saying, if you disrespect a man, don't be surprised. Man will leave you for that. He will leave you.
Hold on, Stanley. Stanley, wait a minute, darling. Let's define what we're talking about when we say disrespect, because I think that's a very, very, very broad term, and that needs some definition. So nobody knows what the definition is?
Well, disrespect, respecting a person is treating them with the respect that he deserves, treating them well, treating them kind, treating them the way that he deserves.
If you are in a disrespect,
being kind to them, being...
Whoa, one at a time. Go ahead, Phil. What is disrespect?
I said disrespect is if you're in a marriage and you don't respect your husband's authority in terms of daily decisions that have to be made about the family, the father is supposed to be the head of household. What he decides, I'm not saying it has to be the final opinion, but it should be the overriding opinion. But sometimes black women don't respect the man's opinion in the household, and that causes conflicts in some marriages.
Slow down, because we need you to get a whole mouthful. Where did men become head of household and or the father is the last word? Where did that come from and why is
because
that there?
Because man has always been the leader.
All you have to do is go back to the Bible and go back to
Stanley can't go back to the Bible.
One
at a time,
guys. Says in the Bible that the man is supposed to be over the household.
Hold up. Because I want to, I don't understand that. You can't throw the Bible in all willy-nilly. Let me finish, Stanley. You can't throw the Bible in all willy-nilly like that when you don't go by the Bible in nothing else that you do.
It says in the Bible that the man is supposed to be the head of the household, and I don't have a Bible in front of me. I don't have scripture in verse. But it does state that the man is supposed to be
Christ
over
is
the
head of the church.
Hold on, Jeff.
Yeah.
Christ is the head of the church, and is head of the man. The man is the head of the wife, and they are the heads of the family.
No, Jeff, you didn't go on too far.
You just said the back to the Bible.
No, I know what he said. I'm trying to go because we can do the Bible in here. But hold up. See, we throw the Bible in conveniently.
Yeah.
It's convenient.
Yeah.
On what it say, the man is the head of the house and the head of the wife.
Mm-hmm.
But we throw it out on everything else. You can't find the Bible and say the man is the head of the house because the Bible says so,
that's why I was going to ask Stanley where he was getting his at.
But you don't want the Bible nowhere else because if you don't have the Bible when you're dating, you can't have the Bible when you're married.
Well, I'm saying in terms of people who happen to be in a religious frame of mind
then they have to respect according to what the scriptures say. Now, everyone is not in that frame of mind, so therefore, I don't know how they run their households. But we do notice that there's a problem in a lot of African-American marriages. And maybe that may be the reason, because they don't have any principles when they go into the marriage.
I think, Tracy, it has nothing to do with the Bible. The man has always been the leader, if we go back to history, of a family. If we go to any place around the world, the man's always been the hunter, the woman's always been the nurturer about the kids and everything. That's always been there. And it has nothing to do with the Bible.
I do not want to get into a theological what I'm saying is, see, I don't have a problem with, if you believe that the man is the head of the house, I don't have a problem with it, even if you don't believe in the Bible. Jeff is just poking at you because we know you just messed up in the head when it comes to the Bible and creation and all that. So it's okay because I love you anyhow. But, see, when you bring the Bible into this, because the Bible says that the man is supposed to be head of the house and he's supposed to serve his wife as Christ served the church. And, see, the question is, men know how to lead or know how to boss, B-O-S-S, which is a bad word. But men don't know how to serve.
Well, also, like the other caller said, I think it's an evolutionary thing, too, where, you know, in the past, we had a hunter-gatherer society where the men went out and hunt for the game so the family could eat. And we still see those evolutionary-type behaviors in we still see that in the modern person today, but it's something that's hidden, and it's probably something that's secretly in the subconscious that people react upon it in their everyday life.
But well, did you hear what I said? See, you can't use one and not serve. You cannot be the head of the household and not serve your family. And see, I think that's where a lot of our relationships get off course. Because men don't know, I'm going to say this way. Males do not know how to serve their family and serve their wife. And because they don't know how to serve them, they don't know how to lead them.
Yeah. Well, if you are a religious person, of course, in your process of leadership, you're serving your family. You're serving your children and you're serving your wife.
So what does that mean? What does serving your family mean? And right now,
it means providing for your family's needs.
No. It can't be providing if I make more money than you.
But it also means providing the emotional support, providing the guidance as a parent to your children, helping in the types of decisions that have to be made by a family, and you consulting with your wife as to those. And also, like, having a consultation with your wife and all of that is a process of service.
Let me help clear up some things here real quick. First of all, for Stanley, I hear you, but if you're going to go by nature, understand that the man's physical prowess has him being the dominant person. Period. So, therefore, physically, he is stronger than the woman. But he is not smarter than the woman. And, in fact, in many cases, a woman is much smarter than a man. And the situation is that men don't know how to deal. So we got to go to break, so it doesn't matter.
You got about a minute. I just didn't want you to go too far. Go ahead. You got a minute. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You got a minute. Well, anyway, yeah. But that's the situation. God put the order in order, but don't forget that if we go with creation, the man and a woman was called alongside a man to help him subdue, control, and replenish the earth. And she just has a womb. It's called a womb man. That's why she is. She's just as much man as he is. It's just that by authority. Because of some things that happened in creation, then the man has taken on a head position instead of there being a co-equal existence of a man and a woman.
I gotta go. I'll be right back. We'll continue this discussion. The number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today. Want to continue this discussion? It's kind of very, very interesting to me, because I still say we've turned male. We have a lot of males, but we don't have a lot of men. And the reason why men are not getting respect, and especially in the black community, is because that males have not been taught how to become men. And if if you're not a man, it's kind of hard for you to serve your family if you don't know, if you can't serve yourself. We'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News talk.
But to come back to what I was saying, if women were the one that was leading the relationship, the man, it would never work. I know of many guys who accepted their woman leading the relationship, and it's miserable. Miserable for the guy and miserable the period.
Well, see, anytime people have dysfunctions in their primary family that they were reared in, they have problems in their in every other relationship that they come along. And many people do not come from what you would call a family that's a nuclear family where there's a father and a mother there all the time. So a lot of people deal with dysfunction, and it has, and sometimes it has to do with race, and sometimes it doesn't. And those same dysfunctions just find themselves in their like in that person's you know, it just finds themselves like in that person's life as they get older. Because you can find this same dynamic in some white marriages where the wife is domineering and the husband has to take arguments and things from the wife, and the wife doesn't respect the husband's power in the relationship. So these types of issues happen with white people too.
I never said it doesn't happen with white people. I'm saying that the attitude in the beginning that a white woman shows compared to a black woman, I'm not saying that once they marry and everything, it doesn't happen. I saw a lot of white women, like you say, who try to bully the guy to basically say, I'm the boss here, you're nothing, you're the same. That's why, as a man, if you feel that you have a wife or a girlfriend that's trying to do that, you have to stand up as a man and say, who are you to do that? You're not going to control my life. And I agree with Jeff, you're not a mother. If you want to control somebody, you ain't going to control me. If a man doesn't do that, you're done. If you let your woman walk all over you and give her the control, you're done as a man. You're done.
Yeah.
Don't go complaining.
But I think in our modern times, I think that type of dynamic can be irrespective of race. But I think that in the black, with black people, because so many of them come from single-parent homes, the level of dysfunction in their primary family is probably greater than what you see in these other ethnic groups. That's why it seems to be worse in kind of among black people, because of the level of dysfunction that they're dealing with.
Yeah. But that's the thing. A lot of women feel that because they have the degrees and this, the money and everything, let's say you have all those things, that doesn't mean you're a great person. That doesn't mean you know how to have leadership. Let's get one thing straight. Women are emotional creatures. Men are logical creatures. That's a fact. Men have more tendency to go to the logic than women. Women have more tendency to go to their feelings or what they feel. I feel this way. That's why I'm going there. Not losing their logic.
Sometimes you can find certain women that are very emotional, and you can find other women that are very logical. I guess take it on the individual thing.
But
in general,
we all know that women are more emotional than men. That's in general. I'm not saying there's not the upper, but if we go in general, men, we use our logic first before we think, I feel this way. That's why sometimes you could be a logical guy and saying to yourself, this, how come I can't get that woman? And that woman say, that woman needs to feel you a certain way to have her. If she doesn't feel you, you could have all the things that she needs logically to make this relationship work. She won't go there because she doesn't feel you.
Well, I think that, you know, whether women are more emotional than men, that, you know, we currently have more women enrolled in law school and in medical school than men.
Okay.
So I think so I think that women are very logical, and they can be logical. It depends on the individual relationship.
Yeah, I work in a relationship, the logic will be gone to win. Trust me not. I've met lawyers, doctors that are logical when it comes to their work, but as soon as the relationship is in, the logic is gone. The logic that they would use at work, it's not the same logic that you use in the relationship. It's not because you're a lawyer or whatever you do in your work, that means that you're logical when it comes to your relationship. Don't get it twisted. Women have seen completely different. If they don't feel something for a man, they don't feel something. They'll go through that emotion instead of going through the logic. That's why some women will stay 2 or 3 years with a man, even though logically he's beating them, putting down everything, because I feel something for this guy. That's the reason I stayed with him. Why did you say, logically, you shouldn't have stayed, but I stayed because I felt something.
Well, it's probably because women have more of a nurturer aspect to them, because they have more of an internal instinct.
That's
why they stay in relationships that may be bad.
Hello?
Yeah.
Listen, here's the issue that we face in America today. Either men are going to be men and women are going to be women. But when our society tries to force a role of a woman onto a man or vice versa, you run into a situation where you've got a man trying to act like a woman, and physically and mentally he can't do it, and a woman trying to act like a man, and physically and mentally she can't do it as well. So we need to understand that there are definite roles by nature that we have. And when we go outside of those roles, we cause chaos in our society. And that's what we got.
I agree with you. And men need to stand up for what they believe as their role and stop excusing or giving an excuse of things. I'm sorry, I'm a man. So many men have that value. Don't stand up for manhood and say, this is who I am. If that's who I am, I don't need to apologize for everything. You're different than me. You're a woman. Be a woman. Don't act like you're trying to be me. I don't want to go out with another man. I want to go out with a woman.
That's how it works. That's how it works.
And I agree with you. Until we resolve this, until man stands up for themselves and don't let themselves walk all over, so many guys, I don't blame the women, so many guys are having a long relationship. I blame the man because he lets himself walk all over by his lady. So many guys I know.
Well, Stanley, here's the problem. Not only in relationships, but in the way things work in our society. I mean, you've got them, you know, women saying, well, I don't need a man. I can raise my kids on my own. Well, we see what that's caused us.
Yeah.
I don't know. You may have some successes in single parent households, but the ideal is a two parent household. I know folks that don't agree with that are going to say, well, what about those dysfunctional two parent households? Well, you use a certain term there, dysfunctional. In a two parent household that's not dysfunctional, you usually see well rounded kids.
Hello.
Yes. Yeah, we hear you.
But that's true that you know, the level of dysfunction in society is greater than it's ever been before. So that's the reason why we see these families where there's constant arguing, the women and the men cannot get along, because the feminist movement has moved women into roles they never had before. And like he had said previously, there's an evolutionary thing about men where men want to be in charge. They want to be at the forefront because we came from a hunter-gatherer society before. But because of the feminist movement, these roles have been changed, and it's caused friction in a lot of marriages. And it depends on how people were raised as to how they react.
That depends if you stand up for who you are as a man. If you stand up for who you are as a man, if every man stood up for who he is to acting like me, like Alabama, like Alex, like this, like that, women would not have any choice to say, we can't act this way. You think, trust me not, all men would stand up for themselves and being proud of being men and not accepting a lot of things that disrespect or putting out or nag or things that never come back that we would never hear back in the day. It would not happen. We let them go there. I don't blame women. I blame us. We did that.
Hold on. Hold on, guys, in the chat room. Local call, your mic is on. Local call, your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy. Hey, you know, in regards to this idea of submitting, you know, I think a lot of people have the misconception that makes the woman have to be weak, as opposed to, you know, she gives up all her rights and whatnot. But there was something I heard when I lived in Montana that I thought was very interesting, and it was from a guy who trained horses. And he would give talks, you know, motivational speaking from a Christian perspective in regards, and he kind of tied in the idea of training the horses. Okay, now we all know horses are powerful animals. They've got great strength. They have their own will.
Be careful.
Don't think I'm at all.
And we
suggesting that women are like horses. I don't mean that.
We like us a good-looking filly every now and then, right?
Go ahead.
My point was what he said is that if I remember correctly, and I don't know what language it was in, whether it was Greek or whatever, but the root word for submission actually comes from a position of strength, much like the horse does. The horse, you know, that horse doesn't submit to a bridle, you know, that little piece of leather. You know what I'm saying? It's submitting by its own will, by its own choice. It doesn't have to. It's got the strength. It could take the man out. He doesn't have to listen to that cowboy trying to ride him, trying to tell him to turn left or right. You know, but that horse, because he's treated with respect, if it's done the right way, that horse learns to respect that rider and knows that person, that cowboy is not going to hurt him or hurt her. You know, so that horse submits their will to the rider. That horse doesn't have to, but it does because it's been treated with love and kindness and gentleness. There's nothing weak about that. And I just thought that was an interesting perspective, and I thought I'd throw that out there because, I hear so many times people say submit, you know, and it comes with that bad connotation that you've given up or you're somehow a lesser person because you do that, you know. But husbands and wives need to do that.
But we don't teach it anymore either. We need to be honest about this. I mean, you got to realize we're talking a foreign language for a lot of, because we are a liberated society now, and women, that's where the question came in earlier. I asked about the money. If I make more money, does that change my position of submission in my family?
Nope. It doesn't change your position as a family. You still have to let man be the man and be the leader of your relationship.
Why do I have to, Stanley, if I don't have, why do I have to let
leader
the man,
of the, see the,
why do I have to let the man be the man and the leader of the family?
Because that's how it's been. That's how it will always be, and that's how it is.
Stanley,
you're not trying
on.
To...
Stanley, there's no such thing as that absolute in your world. You cannot possibly...
Don't go there with Stanley.
No, just
don't
go there with him because he has to listen to himself.
It has nothing to do with the Bible. It has been done
because
of the Bible.
Stanley?
Yeah, it has been done because there has been research about that to see if a woman leaves a relationship, does it work? If a man leaves a relationship, does it work? And I'm sorry to say, when a woman leaves a relationship, the relationship is awful. It does not work.
Stanley, neither one of those models work when the man leads nor when the woman leads. But when two people come together, then the relationship will work. It will not work unless both of them agree. And so, therefore, in your world, especially talking about if the man lead the relationship, there's no such thing as the man leading the relationship in your world, because you have no absolute in your world.
I never said I have an absolute. Who said it has always been that the man is this, that, and other.
And I said, no, that's not so. And especially in your world, it's got to be a mutual coming together of man and woman.
Yes, but who makes the final decision, Jeff?
But it depends because I'm gonna tell you like this.
You can't have it both ways.
Hold on, listen.
I gotta pick up another call.
Okay, go ahead.
269, your mic goes on. Oh no, it's not. South Carolina, that's your mic.
Hello.
Hello. 843.
That's 269. Peace to everybody on the phone.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good. You know, one of the things, as you've been listening for the last about 30 minutes, you know, the role of a male, I think it there's different definitions depending on, you know, what segment of the community that you're talking about. So it probably would be easier if you know, say, well, what is his role in the house? Or what is his role if he's not married? Or what is his role, you know, in this social arena? And I think you would get clarity, you know, so that there ain't this hodgepodge general definition of what it means to be a man, because that's going to probably vary from person to person. One of the things that, when I went through the rites of passage, one of the questions they asked you said, well, when did you know that you were a man? That's one of the questions they ask. Not a male, but a man. And so what came out of that was you have to go into a male's life at specific times with specific circumstances and get the man definition from that responsibility. Then you look at his role in another circumstance, and you get the man definition from that responsibility.
What are you talking about?
Now, that don't make sense.
Hey, you know women can't make sense of anything like that.
I'm sorry. I thought I was in a male rites of passage class. Tracy ain't even supposed to be on the phone. That was a male rites of passage thing. You weren't even supposed to hear that.
Look!
Cover your ears,
man.
Next time I talk, Trace.
Look, man, you know there's so many people that have no idea what it is to be a man,
right?
And so many people that don't know what it is to be a woman. Yeah. That you know, it's just like we're experimenting all over again here.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is we have to start looking at things. Even just naturally, if we looked at them in the natural, let's take out that we believe in any God or not. If we look at them in naturally, we'd understand that there'd be certain things that are harmful and certain things that are not harmful. And we wouldn't have such a hard time dealing. But all of our conditionings are what cause our dysfunctionality. And you know, women especially, and the women, and I put it on the women primarily because you guys are the multipliers. Okay, men are givers, okay? So now we give you seed, you produce children.
We give you groceries, absolutely.
You provide meals.
Absolutely.
I give you a house, you make it a home.
Absolutely.
Okay,
but if
you're behind before you met me, had a bad man or a bad father, you're gonna reproduce all of that negativity in my life.
But what you fail to realize is whatever you give me, if you don't give me love, if you don't give me love, I don't know what to do with you.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter because it is. I'm going to give you love because that's why I got you in the first place.
No, that's not necessarily true.
No, listen, it is necessary. I'm saying I'm going to give you that love. But this is the thing. If you had a bad father,
If you had a bad boyfriend.
Right. A lot of times we bring luggage
okay.
with us. A lot of, hold
all
no,
the
no,
time.
Hold,
woman,
no,
wait.
Hold on, Jeff. Not all of us bring luggage with
all.
Us. Not all of us bring luggage. Because remember,
well, you
will bring luggage too.
No. We don't bring luggage.
No,
oh,
really?
Yes. Hold that.
Really?
No, that's not true. You will bring your own set of luggage with you.
I'm being facetious.
Hold on, Stanley. In today's society, you will bring your own luggage with you. And if you have been not, if you've been raised in a home, based on how you were raised, if you don't give me what I need, I'm going to multiply what you've given me and multiply it and give it back to you. And most women, all we want is security.
Yeah, but the thing.
Hold on. And if you can't give me security, I need to be able to trust you at your word.
And
the problem is, a lot of times, men, we do not have that there. If you say, baby, it's going to be okay, I need to have the confidence in you as a man.
You already have the wrong premise. Let me say why. Wait, Michigan. One quick second.
You and I need to work this out.
You have the wrong premise. This is why. Because you are called alongside. Wait a minute. Well, listen. We both provide the security. We both provide the well-being.
No, Jeff.
The virtuous woman a business
Jeff,
woman.
We're not talking about. I'm talking about at your word.
Just forget the
word. No. You got to understand. At your word. Because I walk beside you to fulfill that which is in you as a woman.
No.
I was created to be a helpmeet.
Okay.
Which means it's to help you with the vision that God has given you as a family. My issue.
Disagree.
I know you do. My issue is, if I don't trust you at your word, I need to have confidence in you as a man. If I don't have confidence in you as a man, I have problems.
Then you shouldn't be together with him.
Again, we don't.
Hold
up.
Don't trust
Stanley, wait
a
minute.
Man,
one, Stanley,
be with that
Stanley,
man.
Stanley, let me finish what I'm saying. The problem is we get involved in relationships based upon other things and not based upon relationship of trust. And because I'm in a relationship outside of the parameters of trust and yielding my will and my submission unto you, it causes problems because if the day that I disrespect you is the day that you leave.
Yeah, but Tracy, you just said that you have a problem that you won't trust this man and everything. You already have a problem.
No, Stanley, listen to what I'm saying.
I agree with
listen to what I'm saying. A woman will jump in, she will be all goo goo gaga over a man.
Mm-hmm.
She will marry the man.
Mm-hmm.
And something will happen in the relationship where she will lose respect for him.
Go back to that. What will happen to make her stop
it could
loving
be,
and caring
be,
and not, that man?
Now, see,
it could be
now
a number of things.
Now you're finna get into what I was saying. You're finna get into
what
specific areas.
Let's go to the birds thing.
Stanley, one at a time, Stanley. One at a time. Everybody's mic's open. Philadelphia, South Carolina, 843, your mic is open. I don't know who that is. But, you know, Michigan, I understand where you're coming from. But you understand what I'm doing, what I'm saying here.
But let me say this. Let me ask a question. You know, I forget back in the 60s when everybody seen that Black History picture where the brothers got this sign over or walking around, I'm a man. The question is, who were they trying to prove that to, themselves?
I don't know.
Or the white man?
They were trying to provide it to. They were trying to prove it to the white man, I believe. And see, and that's another. That's
so,
a whole other issue.
Nah, that it is because if you are, just prove it.
But you have to understand, we as black women, because this is where this actually or this the original came from. In this, as black women, we don't understand what it's to be a black man. And the black man is always trying to prove
what it is to be a black man. Why don't you understand to be what it is to
because
be a black woman?
Because because it's totally different. There is a difference in being a black man and being a black woman. Just in being who they are.
In America, you're correct.
Okay, correct. But why don't you try to be the best black woman that you need to be?
No, Stanley. I've got to understand who you are if I'm going to be beside you.
No, you just need to be the best.
best black woman that you.
Damn it, Stanley!
You
I can, Miss Stanley, I can be the best I am, but if I don't understand who where I'm going home to, because
listen,
see, there's one thing to be.
Then why you don't understand who a black man is? Because you don't understand who your own father is.
Well, most of us don't have a father.
If you understood your black father, if you understood your black father, then you would have some idea. About
okay,
the black man that
you
with.
72% of African American children are raised in single family homes.
Yeah,
right.
but the problem is this,
and
crazy.
They're being raised by a woman, and most of them do not have a father in the house, and if they have one, they may or may not be a strong man.
But
and
that, that's
what's
and
happening
that's the
is
root
you're
of
trying
the
to give this universal definition. You're trying to give a universal definition of what it means to be a black woman. And what it means to be a black man without putting it in context.
But
it'll
is,
never work.
But listen, I'm not trying to solve the problems
no,
of the
I'm
day,
not saying
darling.
You. I'm saying just
what?
Listen to the conversation, and you'll
but
see
what?
That's what's happening. There's
but
no context.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying in reference. Cause, and Alex, you're there because you started this question on your Facebook page because you started about income. And we got into the submission thing. But my question is, and this is what I want to know. Do we understand? Because I don't think black women are wanted in America.
I disagree.
No.
I disagree with that.
No. I don't think so.
If you wanted to be wanted, why don't you be the best woman that you need to be and forget about the
because
way
you, because you don't
wait,
because
wait,
you
wait,
don't
wait.
Want that.
Because if you don't want that, then it will never work. You
because you
be black,
because you don't want that.
Yes,
we are. You guys
yes,
already told me that
me
it is. Hold on, Stanley. You guys can't talk out the both sides. You can't tell me that it is ultimate that everybody
yes,
wants to have a white woman.
Wait, Tracy. Are you telling me that if you would present black men with the best women, I mean, kind, considerate, loyal, like in the 1960s, who had her back, like Malcolm X said, who didn't bitterly put them down, who believe in their dreams? Who had their back and things? You think that black men would not yet? Really?
Do you really? Do you really think it started in the 1960s?
Well, I think part of it started with the Great Society when the social worker said you couldn't have a man in the home if you wanted to receive any welfare benefits.
A lot of
the men had to abandon the homes.
That was the breakdown of the family because in 1964 even, a black woman between the childbearing ages of 18 to 30 was more likely to be married and have a husband and family than her
but,
white counterpart.
Hold on. Listen to what you just said. But do you realize that you had a family unit there and you still had a very, very strong controlling woman inside of Big Mom?
Yeah,
you still had a strong controlling woman, but the black families were more working class in makeup, and the man was still the sole provider because he did most of the hard labor.
Yeah. No, not necessarily. Remember, black women, hold up. Black women been working a long time. I understand the black women worked,
but the men were working class men, and they worked outside the home.
You can't have, because you got to understand, black women been working inside of homes for a long time.
Absolutely correct what he just said. He said that the black man was still the one that went out and got the most part of everything. And it's true. It's just that the women had to work as well. And that's what you're not realizing, and you're totally dismissing that point. Yes, black women were working, but that's not because the black man wasn't.
Yeah,
the black man was definitely working and working harder than you. It's just the fact that he just got less a lot of times for what he did. That's the conditioning that I'm talking about, and then that's what it came, that's what led to the disrespect that black women usually have for black men.
You just disrespected a whole generation of women.
No, I didn't.
No,
Hold on, guys. Let me finish this. Jeff, you just said, and he was working harder than you.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I said many times he was working harder, but he got less
for his work.
But again, he got less for the work that he did.
Yeah, because he was digging ditches, farming, doing all the stuff and getting pennies.
Hey, Tracy, it sounds like you're just looking for an argument.
No, I'm not looking for an argument.
That's how black women are.
I'm not looking for an argument. Michigan, did he not say that?
No, he said exactly what he just said.
Yeah.
You said
thank you, Michigan.
You said that women, he was working harder than you.
But you're looking for an argument. Many times they were working harder than you.
He was doing hard physical labor. He was doing hard physical labor.
Now, what's
wrong with
that, Tracy? You weren't digging ditches on the side of a road. You were not plowing the fields most of the time. Sometimes you did, but most of the times you weren't plowing fields. And you weren't doing the physical labor, working in a lot of black people, and like my grandfather, he cut his finger off working in a sawmill. So you have to understand, they did hard work, they just didn't get paid that much for it, and so therefore you're scrounging around, coming home with the little bit of money you did, you're tired as hell, you've been out doing domestic work to tie up the rest of the strings. That's how the family worked. We were very successful families.
We understand the success of the family, but the reason why I'm bringing this out because this is just a lesson that we all can learn.
Mm-hmm.
In the way that you just said it,
the way that you took it,
I understand. But the way that most women that out there that listen,
only you this time.
Now most women that heard this, listen to what I'm saying. That ironing, that housekeeping,
yeah.
Because not only was I keeping someone else's house.
Yeah.
I was keeping your house.
Yeah.
And your kids. And you would come home. And most times a black man would sit down and be served by that wife because that was the era that we were in. Mm-hmm. You cannot say that you were working harder.
Yes, you can.
Oh, God.
Okay. All right. Yes, you can. And the thing is,
it was hard physical labor they were doing.
Jeff, let her have that. So we
can
move on.
Ooh, I ain't trying to have the taxes on the 2%. We gotta let it go.
About John Henry.
But you heard of the tale of John Henry who helped to build the railroad, and the fact that John Henry happened to be the hardest working man in America, and John Henry happened to be a black man.
Hold on.
Have you ever heard of that?
No. But I'm just saying.
But Tracy, you still didn't answer the question. You said that, let's say you do become the best woman you need to be. And you said after a while, something happened. What happened that stopped you from doing what you need to do?
We're still doing it. We've just lost respect for
no, you.
You
don't do it. You're not doing it because if you were
look,
doing
he, he's asking you what happened to make you lose respect.
I know.
That's what he's
asking. I can't say that. I mean, it can be a number of things.
That's
it
right.
Can be a,
see, now you got to put it in context.
Hold on. I'll put it this way, Stanley. You can make a comment saying that I don't work as hard as you do and imply it and let me feel as though that my accomplishments are not as important as yours.
If you're talking about domestic labor, that is not on the level of a person who's doing any type of physical labor.
You
I mean,
understand?
That's completely two different types of work.
Tracy, hold on,
Tracy, baby, you work hard as me.
I don't know. I don't.
Now you see.
I don't.
Now you see. I just gave it to her.
No,
now she said no. She don't.
No, I don't. You know.
You
can't make a black woman happy.
That's why Stanley was correct.
This is what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. And I'm serious. You asked the question, and I said, if you diminish what I do.
No, you said diminish what you
do. If you tell me that I don't work
I
as hard
as
you.
Of,
no, you
I don't. The level of labor is different.
Listen, hold on. I am a woman. My level of labor should never be as vigorous as you. But don't tell me because I sit behind a desk all day long.
Look what you
I
did,
don't
Jeff.
Work as hard as you.
Look what you did, Jeff.
Yep.
Jeff did.
I'm not saying you're not working hard. I'm saying that the level of the labor is different
you
in the level of its intensity.
If you say the intensity of labor that I do is different, absolutely. But what I'm saying is if you ask the question, because if you want to know how – Yes, South Carolina.
Listen, I'm trying to listen to this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say this. At every turn, anytime I've ever gotten into a conversation with a female, whether it be white or black, it always comes back to that female wanting to be equal.
Validated. Absolutely.
On every level. with the man, which we all know that that's a physical impossibility.
But the question is, but can you respect what I do? You got to understand, I mean, I don't have to be equal with you. But
people
I need to be.
But you're just saying the intensity of the work is different.
But listen, okay, listen. You saying that the intensity of the work is different than saying that you work harder than I do, especially when you come home and sit down and I serve you for the rest of the day.
Yeah, but that's not what happened. See, that's not what happened. No, that's not what happened.
What happened?
That was incorrect. What you just said. Okay, listen. Wait a minute. Listen, my grandmother worked and did domestic work.
Right.
My grandfather worked in the steel mill.
Okay.
My grandmother got dinner ready.
Yep.
And had it in the oven.
Right.
When did her domestic work came back home, and when my grandfather got out that meal, she served him his meal.
That's what I said.
He ate, went to sleep, got up and started doing other stuff around the house, going out there raising the garden, doing all other stuff that they did to make the livings and make the ends meet. You have to understand.
But yes.
We're not.
Okay.
Listen to me now.
The commonality of that.
Okay, that's what happened.
But yes, the commonality of that.
Okay.
Is not there.
That not anymore.
No, no, no,
it's destroyed.
No, even then.
No,
it was not absolutely everybody.
I don't know where you grew
up. The commonality was not equal there. Yes, they did. But you have to understand, we really need to give credence to the women that were behind them. Because remember, birth control wasn't available.
Well, what are you saying no, no, no for?
When you say that he was trying to provide for his family, and he was doing this, and he was doing that, but chasing around your kids.
But we cannot
do this all at the same time. It cannot happen. The rules don't change by the conversation.
The one thing I wanted to say is I think you have to work outdoors or work in construction to see exactly somebody is saying about, you know, outdoor labor versus somebody working
Philadelphia, go push past it, baby. It's over.
Yeah.
Push past it. It's over. It was the point that I made, and I'm just telling you as women. It's not that you guys don't respect or do respect, but Stanley asked me what caused you to find it. What causes me to lose respect. It's when you diminish the capacity that I have in what I do.
Well, but I don't think anybody's trying to.
Hold on, Philadelphia. Wait a minute. Somebody wanted to interject. Somebody, and it's new. I heard somebody new out there. Who is it?
Yes, Stacey. It's still local. I just wanted to say, you know, as far as validating what a woman does, you know, my wife raising my children, that's far more, as far as I'm concerned personally. I may go out and work, you know, my 12 or 14 hours out in the field. That's what I do. Done it for 20 plus years now, or almost 20 years anyway, you know, working long hours in the oil patch, okay? But by and far, the most important job being done in our home is the raising of my children. And I always let her know that that's the most important job, and I could not do it without her. You know, that's my legacy. You know, I mean, she respects the things that I believe in, and she believes in those same things as a Christian. You know, I mean, we're a Christian home.
But
can I ask you a question? I always validate her on that. I always validate her and say, you know, that's the most important job because she, our kids, that's my, you know, future in a sense. My, what do you call it?
Hold on. Local call. Stanley has a question. What's this question, Stanley?
But, okay, you validated her. Does she validate you? Because you're acting like you are validating her. You are very important in my life. But I'm sure that she's saying to you, you are very important in my life because she couldn't make it without you also.
No, because you know what?
Hold on, Stanley. You can't ask a question and then talk on top of it.
Right. She has a master's degree. If she wanted to work, she actually makes more money in her career than what I do. And she left her career to marry me. She's currently going back into that, and I told her she doesn't have to.
I don't want her to. I prefer her to stay home. But she wants to help out with some of the bills. Things are getting expensive these days, you know, with inflation and all. She wants to go back part-time, and I respect that, and I will support her in that, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, she validates me also, but she's very capable of making a living. She doesn't need me.
And that's what's important for you to say, because you're acting like she's only – you're validating her. It goes both ways. She needs to validate you.
Sweetheart, Stanley.
Stanley,
you're reading too much into what you have to
do.
You're reading too far, Stanley.
You're bringing personal experience in this.
You're right.
You're going too far, Stanley.
Be a man.
I'm just
a dog in general.
Yeah, stand up.
Exactly.
I mean, you can go on too far.
Yeah.
But you have to understand a woman's validation. Hold up. But you got to understand a woman's validation does come from her man.
Yes.
I just got a question real quick. Maybe you guys already discussed this, but have you guys heard about this shooting in Connecticut?
Yeah, we talked
about it earlier.
Yeah.
You came in late. 30 people.
Yeah, I am late.
And it's climbing.
Yeah. I'm sowing hate and discord on Facebook, because I told it that we've released this spirit upon this country because we freely legalized the killing of innocent kids. So 1.3 million kids being killed versus these ones killed here. The only difference is the 1.3 million got killed a little earlier than these were. I said it's just as heinous either way it goes, but they're not getting it, of course.
Hold on. Alabama, your mic is on.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just listening.
Okay.
Had an interview earlier. I just was listening to you guys. That's all.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Tracy, they said 18 to 20 kids are killed?
Yeah.
27.
It's climbing. The number's climbing. It's climbing based upon, you know, kids going in, because we don't know, you know, they rush them to the hospital, and as they're getting released.
My God.
Well,
but
what does it matter?
It doesn't matter, Jeff.
What does it matter? I didn't say that it does matter. I know it matters. I said, what does it matter?
We need to understand, you know, and our hearts and our prayers go out to the families of this.
Right.
But as I said, it's happening every day. But if you listen to the news broadcast, it comes at the bottom of the hour, you'll hear where they said that there was a young man that was sentenced to 95 years to life. He was in his 20s for killing another young man who was 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got to understand, it's happening every day. Life is a life, and if you're 80 years old or if you're in the womb, it's still a life. And we have allowed and we have conditioned ourselves to be entertained by murder.
Yes.
And we are now reaping what we've sown. And we
living
don't want to
in America.
You ain't right there.
But it's true. And I mean, you have to understand, we got stuff going on over in the Middle East. We've got people dropping dead. And as Jeff said, it is a spirit, but we have allowed it and we are not doing anything about it. So I don't know why we're surprised by it.
We put troops and missiles in Turkey. So we can think, but and nobody's going to say that that's a useless war.
Absolutely not.
No, of course not. It was started by King Obama. So you know where I'm going with that. So I'll set up for right now. We'll do that next week.
Yeah. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, so now I found out that black men don't want white. They want white women. There's a trophy. I still think it's access, but, you know, y'all saying it's because they still looking for the trophy of it.
Well, you want a white man, so what's the difference?
Well, at least you got money.
Well, that's why. Well, for whatever reason, you want one. He is your definition of a man. That's what
he
is to as it. Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, but black women do not want white men.
Yes, it is. Now, shut up.
Okay.
You tell her.
Hey, that's the kind of man. That's the kind of man Tracy won't. Shut up.
Hey, shut up.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. No, wait a minute.
Don't say another word.
That's right.
Now, wait a minute. I've been watching Scandal. Because a white man would never tell me to shut up like that.
Oh, yes, he would.
Oh, yes, he would.
No, he wouldn't. No, he won't.
Yeah, well, you mess with the wrong thing. Yes, he will.
You just can't mess with his money.
And guess what?
What?
He will call you that name, too.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Get in that kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
No. Get in that kitchen.
No. Dog, I'm going to tell you just like this.
No.
I don't know where you sit.
No.
I've had a lot of experience, okay? I was in the military.
And
I lived overseas.
So?
Well, I've seen these things, these interracial things you're talking about. And without a doubt, I've never seen but maybe one or two relationships where I don't think that a white woman that was with a black man called him the N-word.
I don't know.
And that is so hilarious to me.
Why? No, seriously, do you really think that happens?
Yes, I know it happens. I've seen it happen. What are you talking about?
I don't think so.
Michigan man, will you please tell her?
I just told you what type of man Tracy needs.
What?
Now, if a black woman will call a black man that name,
no,
and a white, and you get a white, you tell me that Jackie wouldn't. Jackie, I'm sorry. wouldn't haul off and
no,
call and
no.
call a man. I'll, you know what? You got to be
no,
kidding me.
No.
You got to be kidding me.
No, because
oh
hold
man,
on, hold on. It would
I
to,
am disappointed.
Hold on. It would have to be a part of your vocabulary.
Now,
I might call.
No, it doesn't.
Hold on, wait a minute. I might call you one, and I might call a white man one. But I'm just saying.
I'm telling you.
No.
Without doubt. Without a
so,
doubt.
So hold on. So you. So let's go back to Whoopi and Ted Danson.
Yeah.
You really, I mean, because remember, he should have been black.
Now, right? He ain't going to call her one because.
Why not?
Because she'll kill him. We'll be crazy. You know that.
So why do
we'll be crazy. He going to be kind of wary about that. But in a natural, normal relationship where folks, you know, you might not have that strong thing, you let that get to be a heated argument. And somebody going to get called away.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to white men and black women, that's never stopped. That's been going on since America, since before America. So I don't think that's as taboo as the new white woman and black man thing. That's something kind of new. But white men have been getting that black women for thousands of years.
Oh, well, I agree.
Now, wait a minute, hold on. But now hold up and see, there's a difference. There's a difference, y'all. A white man, hold on.
A white man would have taken a black woman by force for a very different reason.
And not only that,
it didn't stop. It didn't stop though after slavery. Think about it. Y'all still had the money. So a lot of black women, the first black female millionaire wasn't C.J. Walker. It was a black knight from New York.
But also, that was happening in ancient times. Think of King.
You say, Bob? Somebody on the local line. I missed what you said because they were talking on top of you, and your mic very, very low.
Oh, I was just saying. I guess that was my point as far as the white man and the black woman. You know, back in the olden times. I mean, I think if a white man took a black woman, it was by force. It wasn't for any reason of marriage or anything like that.
Right.
It was because he could and he could get away with it.
Well,
but
he still feels that way.
She's
still a play toy to him today.
But see, the difference between a black woman and a white woman is a black man will marry a white woman. A white man will not marry a black woman.
Right. He don't know. That's right. He's a play. You're a play toy to him.
I don't agree with that. I think they'll marry him a lot of times.
You'll see him here and there, but for the most part, they did studies on that.
The popularity
he doesn't really want
is
to
not
marry.
There.
The reason, Jeff, they did studies on that. The reason he doesn't marry her is because. When she has a baby for him, he does not see himself.
Okay.
Ooh, I never thought about it that way.
That's
kind of
heavy.
That's deep.
That's kind of heavy. You know, and you know what? That's deep. I go with that.
No, I'm gonna get that for free. I'm giving y'all that one for free.
216.
Hey,
216. Your mic is on.
I want to let you guys know, I just got back from the annual white man's convention, where we were all sitting around talking about how we're going to keep the black man down and what we got to do.
What was the address?
And, I just got to give you a warning, though, that it's going on right now, so we're all getting together. But really, I mean, that's sarcasm. I never heard more racist people than on the show today. It's like a big blanket statement about blacks and whites and women.
No.
And everybody's an individual.
No. Okay, but
I mean, when you guys talk about white men, I don't hear you talking about me.
You know,
I don't act that way. I don't use the N-word, and I don't treat people like that. I don't try to keep black people down, and I don't know anyone that does either.
Yeah,
here's the thing. We're talking about a basic culture of people,
right,
not necessarily
right.
individuals.
Right.
And I understand where you're coming from, because this is why I try to tell people about Republicans, because, you know, I always get from black people that all white Republicans are prejudiced. And I tell them it's just not so,
right.
But they can't get to that because they don't know any, and they just think automatically. Yet the Democrats can treat them like hell, and they go along with it. But my point is this. You are an individual, and
right.
the people you gravitate toward will probably be more like you in thinking.
Right.
But there are groups of people here and there and pockets that think just like what we were saying, whether they be black or white. And the racism is alive and well in America. It just is covert in a lot of situations, and people don't recognize it when it comes out. You know, you are afraid of to hire a black man under the age of 35, but if he got a little gray in his hair and maybe a little pot belly, overweight, he's okay because he's like old Joe. And you have to understand that those are stereotypes that people really do relate to a certain way, and it's part of any culture, because if they don't do it black and white, they'll do it with Asian, non-Asian.
And 216, you got to understand how the conversation started. It started with an ESPN, commentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and Trace, I've been listening to you for months and months. And I actually called a couple weeks ago, and you were sick. But I just want to say it was an honor and a privilege to be on your show, and Jeffrey was on, and Alex, and all the fellas. And I felt like I was talking to celebrities. I love you guys.
Well,
but
we love you, too.
I think you go overboard sometimes with the race stuff.
But
no,
you got to understand that you're not going to get this conversation anywhere else. And it's a conversation
right.
that we need to have, because it is dividing America today on a lot of decision making.
Could it be? I'm just going to throw this out. Could it be that all this talking about it makes it worse?
No. The problem is you don't have open, honest dialogue about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, people
the
ignoring
problem,
it.
The problem is if you think that it goes away because. Because, see, when I think that I'm equal, I promise you somebody will come to me and let me know that I'm not.
Right, but isn't that a minority of people?
No,
yeah,
no, no. Hold on, Michigan. No, no. Because, remember, competitiveness brings out an ugly head with some people.
With some people.
With some people. But it only takes one to call you the N-word to take you all the way back to a bad situation in your childhood.
I hear you.
Let me ask you a question about that N-word, though. As a white person, when I hear black people calling each other that word, and I would never do that, okay?
That's
I mean,
different.
I grew up in a culturally diverse neighborhood where I had Spanish and black people and white people all together. In fact, my next-door neighbor, they were our best friends. They happened to be African-American.
That's different. Let me tell you why.
Right.
Because you can't say it right.
But that's
different.
No,
Michigan, hold up. It's different when you hear a white man saying it, a white person saying it. I even have a problem.
It means a death threat to. If a white man says it, if a black man says it to another, he's saying it as a place of identity.
But I can hear a young black. I have a problem with a young white kid going down the street listening to rap music. And it being played.
Are you
following me?
Yeah.
It hurt because you have to understand the connotation that comes with it when you hear a white person say it. I may call Jeff and everybody else one, including you, but you can't say it to me.
From my perspective, though, okay, when I hear that African Americans or black people are insulted,
you know, and rightly so, when they're called that word, it makes me wonder, you know, do you respect, but, are you respecting each other when you call yourself that? You know,
absolutely. It depends on,
not part of your culture.
It depends on the connotation. It depends on the connotation of what it says, or the content of how it's being said.
Or if you're
but
friends.
You're not muted. But you got to understand that word goes deep, because when a white person says it, it's demeaning.
Because why does a white person want to say the word in the first place?
Because we get to say it.
No, I mean, really, I want to hear a white person tell me why is it so important that they say the N word.
Well, it's not. They're not going to tell you that. I mean, that.
I don't think it's important. Want
the white person to talk?
Says it's out of hate. It's out of ignorance, and that's what the word means. It means ignorant.
No. That's what Webster said. That's what Webster said it meant. But that's not what.
Right.
But that's not what it meant.
It's a. Well, do you have brothers and sisters? Do they have brothers and sisters in your family? Any white person on the phone? Yes. You call your brother and sister anything you want to call them, right? But they didn't take it personal.
Yeah,
but let
somebody up the street
call your brother and sister the same name you call.
Right.
Then
it's
a little funny,
right,
don't you?
Different. Yes. I agree with you 100%. Yep. If you're friends, it's a totally different story. Yep.
Can I say something?
And it's like with women, with gay guys, they let gay guys call them the B word, but let a guy out on the street that's heterosexual call them that, and they'll take it to another level.
Let me give you a for instance that might clear it up. I would never call an Italian man a Dago, but I hear a lot of Italian guys calling each other Dago. Okay? Now, that's a derogatory term for Italian men, but they use it as their identity because they came through that. So they call each other Dagos. I would never call an Italian man a Dago.
I don't really have any online phones. I don't have any.
So do you let me ask you this, I'm the white guy. Do you guys hear a lot of white people calling black people the N-word? Because, I mean, I just don't hear
that. Oh, yeah.
No, I've never heard that. Well, I've been called it, but not often.
Hold on.
I mean,
Cares? Who cares about that?
Hold on, wait a minute. Hold on.
Just
ask
the question.
But you have to understand. Because we do.
Who cares?
Hold on. No, because we do. Because we need to also understand, and this is something that I don't think African Americans understand. White folk don't think about us as much as we think about them.
You're right on. I think that sums up a lot of it.
We need to understand that. You called in and said you've been in a meeting trying to. We really think that you go to a meetings in part on how to keep the black man down.
Yeah, the way you guys talk sometimes, right? It's like we're all in meetings, plotting and planning what we're going
to
do.
And we actually believe that, but you have to understand at one time that's what
right.
It was all about.
You know, I am just like you. I'm exactly like you. I mean, I'm trying to make a living. I'm trying to make it. I got a boss. Actually, I have a black female boss, but I mean, I see the man keeping me down, and I'm just like you are. Really?
You ain't like me. Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, one day we'll do a show on white privilege.
All right.
But in society, it still opens doors easier.
And don't flinch when we do it, but it's supposed to. I agree with you.
It's not supposed to. This is a European culture. It's supposed to open doors for him.
But
that bothered me too the other day. You were saying, I'm not a European. You were calling me European. I'm not European. I'm American, just like you are. I'm not a European.
Where's your grandfather?
Origination point.
Where's your origination point?
They're from Europe.
All right, then.
I mean, 200 years ago, I'm not European, though.
Yes,
just
you are.
Right, I'm European?
Yeah.
No,
of course you are.
Hold on.
Let me, can I add something? No, if you're saying European, you got to look at the culture in the sense of when you go to apply for a job, you put on a suit, which is a European outfit.
Right.
You're not going there with a dashiki on applying because it's a European culture.
I could give you 10 or 15 instances where this is a European culture. I could give you 15 of them.
Guys,
language,
you know,
but
Alabama. You can't give us 15 because I don't
have Alabama.
We got to go.
Let me just say this.
Oh, Lord,
I don't want to put a suit on either. Yeah, I don't want to put a suit on either. I got to do the same thing you got to do. I got to put a suit on, too. I don't want to put that on.
Hey, may I shut this down?
Go ahead, South Carolina.
Shut it down real quick. We're all from Africa. We're all from Africa, so just shut that down right now. We're all from Africa. Bottom line, we are all from Africa.
True enough.
But that's not told either.
That's right.
Well, America right
and
now.
Listen, I love you guys. We're at the end of the day. We'll see you guys back on Monday.
You
guys have
call.
A great week, and God bless you. Thank you for listening in. You've been listening to Trey on WSOM AM 600. We'll see you guys on Monday. Easily. I got stuff going on.
You've been listening.